Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Boozer's Jewelers Premier Diamonds and the Wedding Ring Store on the corner of Valley Mills and Lake Air in Waco.
The fake and the pass caught. Kendrick Bourne for the touchdown. So Garoppolo on that drive was 5 out of 6, hit 4 different receivers.
The 12 o'clock hour of Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Prompt Technology.
About as good a start as you can have for Tennessee. Tannehill looks for the home run ball. Separation. Khalif Raymond pulls it in. Touchdown, Titans.
Wow.
Home run is blocked. And it's picked up by the Texans to run it in for the touchdown. It's Lonnie Johnson with the recovery up the ramp. He goes. And the Texans stunning everyone here in Kansas City in the opening minutes.
Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you in part by Walk-On's Bistro and Bar.
Here's Mahomes looking open field for a moment. He may have been past the line of scrimmage. It's called a touchdown.
Jones, touchdown.
Unnecessary Roughness. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
And good afternoon on this Monday, January the 13th, 2020. 12:03 is the time here on ESPN Central Texas, and UNR is back in studio for a full week of broadcast and a full 3 hours this afternoon. Hopefully you've been enjoying what you've listened to so far. We've got Wingo and Golic starting us off each and every weekday. Of course, John Morris and Matt Mosley as well, but here we are with you until 3 o'clock, and a lot to get to, as you heard just there in the open, scratching the surface of what all went on this weekend, but a pretty wild weekend, as expected in the NFL, getting down to the Final Four. The championship games are set for both the NFC and the AFC, and, well, the results not as everyone expected. Certainly not all the favorites are advancing onto the Super Bowl. And one of those big upsets, Q called, I believe, late last week as we were leaving the airwaves. Unless I'm misremembering entirely, did you not call Titans over the Ravens?
No, I said it was going to be really, really close. Okay. But I thought the Titans were going to – I mean, I thought the Baltimore Ravens would pull it out. But, yeah, I did think it was going to be close. I thought Houston was going to pull off the win over Kansas City, but we all know how that shook out.
Yeah, we do know how that shook out. Those who predicted that game were close to being right. For like half a game, you were close to being right, but – man, oh man, if Texans fans didn't already hate Bill O'Brien enough, there is somehow, some way we've managed to reach another level of Houston hatred for Bill O'Brien. So my apologies. I thought maybe you had called that game. So you should have just lied to me because I would have given you all the credit for calling Baltimore falling.
What I said, remember, is that nugget was that every time that the number one team that is the rushing team, which is Baltimore, faces the number one rusher, that team loses. Yeah. And so I remember us saying, like, what's the chance of that happening? I remember I said something about Derrick Henry needed to go over 150 yards, and we kind of thought, well, that might be a little difficult. Well, he shattered that.
Yes, he did shatter that. He has been the MVP of the postseason so far, and it's amazing how many people are suddenly acting like they didn't know who Derrick Henry was. I think most people probably knew who he was, just certainly all of us a bit surprised by what he's doing right now. So the championship games are set, and it will be the San Francisco 49ers for the NFC taking on the Green Bay Packers, and in the AFC side of things, not the Baltimore Ravens. Instead, the Tennessee Titans and the Kansas City Chiefs, and it looked on paper, it looked during the course of some of those games like we were going to get Ravens-Texans, and instead we get the complete opposite of that. Looks like we almost were able to get the Seahawks, but the Packers hold on, and then San Francisco just did what they did. But that is one of many things that we'll discuss on the show this afternoon. Craig Smoke with you, joined as always by your boy Q, as you've already heard. And Q, how are we doing this afternoon?
I'm great. I'm a little disappointed in the Texans, though. I was already getting my credential ready. I was getting my request ready to send to Houston so I can go cover that Texans and Titans game I was anticipating. Just knew that Houston was going to be able to pull that off. They were cooking with grease at one point, like I like to say, and then all of a sudden, it's like the fire just went out.
Yeah, it was...
And once the fire went out, it was over.
It was completely extinguished, and then it was stomped on, and then the ashes were scooped up and thrown into the ocean, and that's a game that you just wish could be sent into the ocean or sent into the sun if you're a Houston Texans fan. 51-31, a gigantic swing in that game after the Texans were able to jump out early, and I mentioned the Bill O'Brien hatred. I can only imagine. I don't listen to much Houston sports radio. Don't have time to, and don't really have the desire to, quite frankly. No disrespect, but I can only imagine what their phone lines are like today, what their version of the text line is like today, and just what their conversation is like today, because here's a franchise that is been scratching, getting so close to kind of getting over that hump just a little bit, but they just cannot get over that hump when it comes to the postseason, and they cannot get out of their own way. And that eventually falls back on the head coach and Bill O'Brien, and certainly there's some things that he did yesterday that you could question, Q, to be sure.
No, it was on coaching. I mean, that game was on coaching. I mean, you don't get up 24-0, and I had a problem with that anyway, and I'll talk about it more in depth in Cover 3, but I just... 24-0, you are supposed to find a way to win that game. You're not supposed to find a way to lose, and they did. And coaching was the main problem. Defensive coordinator, Romeo Crennel, probably be the guy to take the L. He'll probably end up being either retire, in air quotes, or he'll get fired straight up, and then Bill O'Brien will get another opportunity. But I'm sure that he'll still be the coach next year, but I understand why Texans fans are upset at Bill O'Brien today, because that is just a ultimate letdown. I mean, 41 unanswered points. Come on, man.
Yeah, 41-point swing. It's pretty unheard of on any level that you're talking about, much less the pro football level. That's just really unheard of. And so the Texans' season comes to a close, and a pretty brutal stretch for Houston sports, quite frankly, between the Astros falling in the World Series and then the scandal that broke out as a result of just what was caught onto during the postseason and afterwards, and they're still awaiting word on what exactly their punishment is going to be. We're expected to hear that relatively soon, not like a ballpark on a timeline, but you would think we're going to hear something about that soon. And I read last week that they were in the final stages of that investigation, but you go from that, and yeah, the Rockets are a good story. You know, they're going to provide a lot of entertainment, but they're still a ways away from mattering, so to speak. So you follow up the Astros coming up just short with the Texans looking like they're well on their way to go play for a Super Bowl, and they just cannot get it done. So Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, what an impressive performance by them on the other side of things, and they're going to be going to the AFC Championship game, and this should be fun. It's a lot different than what we're used to, man. These are not the same teams that we're typically used to seeing. Green Bay, yes. Not so much on San Francisco. We've seen Tennessee here in the past, just like San Francisco, but it's been a little while. And then, of course, the Chiefs, kind of the new, I'm going to steal a phrase from you, they're the new booty in some ways. So different, but good, I think, having these different mix, different matchups.
It's refreshing. I mean, it really is. And the Chiefs were one offsides away from being in the Super Bowl last year. So to see them back in that that stage again, having the opportunity. And this is going to be a tough game. Tennessee beat them earlier in the year. And right now, Tennessee looks like one of those teams that just can't be stopped. Is there any answer for Derrick Henry? Steven brought it up last week. Like, who wants to stand in front of Derrick Henry in January? You know what I mean? Like, that dude is a lot of them. I mean, look what he did to Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas talked about, oh, yeah, we'll be willing to tackle that guy. Yeah, not so much. He basically gave him the big face a couple times, and he's just a handful, man. And if your quarterback doesn't have to throw for 100 yards and you still win the game, what does that tell you?
Yeah, it tells you a lot. It tells you a lot by about how that team is built. Tells you that their offensive line is pretty dominant. Tells you that they've got a dominant running back, and that's what we've seen on full display now the last couple of weeks, and really going back farther, but just as far as postseason action goes. And also joined, of course, as always, by Stephen Simcox. And Stephen, your thoughts on the Texans and the NFL postseason as we saw it unfold these last couple of days?
Well, just a crazy loss. I mean, I thought the fake punt was a real panic move by Bill O'Brien, and I know if you get that, it looks great, but I just feel like when you're up 24-7, you can play defense, but the Chiefs erasing that lead in less than a quarter was wild. And yeah, I get standing by Bill, especially when you don't have a general manager technically, but you know, there's a team in the AFC title game, the Titans, that fired their coach after getting the divisional round, and it's worked out okay for them.
After winning the game, you're right.
After winning the playoff game, so maybe that's the way the Texans need to go. I understand that they make the playoffs and they're always a factor in the AFC South, but it's usually tough to sell that to your fan base when you blow a game so horrendously. Like, you can't even hang on to a 3-score lead or a 4-score lead for more than one quarter. That's pretty insane.
Amazing how quickly that slipped away, isn't it? Just how quickly the Chiefs were able to strike over
should
and
never,
over.
That should never happen. I mean, never. Phil hit me up yesterday after the game and said, outclassed on the field, the sidelines, and the front office.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. And so a tough day for the Texans and for Bill O'Brien, but a tough day for all four teams that lost over the weekend because your season comes to a close. And on Tennessee, not only firing a coach after, you know, a playoff victory, but then there was a lot of chirping earlier this season about Mike Vrabel and just whether or not he was going to be the guy moving forward. A lot of questions about his game management, about, you know, just if he had the grasp of the intricacies of being a head coach, if that was something that was missing from his repertoire. But he's got it down pat now. It's working out pretty well. They know exactly how to win, and they are just willing it upon opponents. And For Baltimore to come up short with the season that they've had, I think that was the most astounding thing to me from the weekend. It was not the Texans collapsing or the Chiefs with this epic comeback. It wasn't Tennessee just running their way to a victory. It wasn't San Francisco being dominant. It wasn't, you know, the nice back and forth what turned into a back and forth a little bit with Green Bay and Seattle. Green Bay jumping out early and Seattle having to fight back. But it was just that Baltimore was so just, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it.
They just weren't good.
Yeah, they just weren't good. And I mean, for a team with so much talent and so much swagger and so much momentum and so much everything, I mean, that game was halfway over and they was just, like, the crowd was at a standstill. I mean, there was not a chirp coming from the stands. That was just a bizarre scene to watch unfold because that's as close as just seeing shock for thousands of people all at once as you're going to get was what we saw in Baltimore over the weekend.
Well, you know, the thing about it is Baltimore got away from who they are as well. That's what really surprised me is that, look, you've been this run-dominant team all season long. You've done really well with that, and all of a sudden you come out and you have Lamar Jackson throwing the ball all over the yard. Like, it just didn't make any sense to me. And I know Mark Ingram wasn't 100%, but still, you ride what got you there, man. You do exactly what it took to make you be the division champs, to give you that that bye week. And on top of that, Baltimore looked like a team that hadn't played in 3 weeks as well.
Yeah, that certainly could have hindered them a bit, but they got hit in the mouth and they didn't know quite how to respond. It's like the bully got bullied and the bully goes down, and it's pretty surprising that we're not going to see Baltimore at least playing for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Rough day for Lamar Jackson, and he's got a very bright future, but he's going to have to get better in these do-or-die games, because if you look at his history, and I know many are so quick to throw out the hate and whatever, but his numbers are a little alarming in playoff games or elimination-style games, so that's just a part of his career that he's going to have to overcome at some point or another, and now, unfortunately for him, there's going to be questions whenever he's in a setting like this, but, I mean, those questions are a result of how he's played, so pretty shocking ending for them. We're going to talk a lot of NFL playoffs. How about Baylor basketball? The men beat Kansas on Saturday to go 2-for-2 in their back-to-back top 25 road schedule for last week. They go out to Lubbock, get a win there against Texas Tech, and then turn right around and go to Lawrence, Kansas on Saturday morning and get a W there. And so the Baylor men with two huge victories. Their resume is already tournament ready. They're going to be in March Madness, barring some sort of epic collapse. And based on how they play the rest of the way, they might be heading to March Madness as a very high seed. We've got the latest rankings. We'll get to those in just a little while. But very nice win over Kansas on Saturday for the Baylor men. So we'll certainly talk about that as well.
You know, and it really wasn't even close. I mean, the game was close, but it really wasn't. You could see that Baylor was the most dominant team the whole game. I mean, no matter what the score was, they were just the team that wanted it more. They had more want-to than Kansas did. They were getting on the floor. They were getting loose balls. Mark Vidal, man, I put out a tweet over the weekend saying he, to me, and just what I see from him, he just kind of seems like the Draymond Green of this team. I mean, he's the guy who could just about do everything, and it's not just about being strong and being a guy who's down there getting all these rebounds. It's also a guy that knows the moment. We talked about that last week against Tech. He just kind of knew what the situation was and gave up the ball because he knew, hey, I'm not a big-time free throw shooter. I need to get rid of the rock. It just seems like he just knows the moment. He's very his basketball IQ is very high, and it showed a lot on Saturday. So very impressive win for the Baylor Bears.
Yeah, I mean, my gosh, I would have been content just looking at their schedule. Hey, take one of the two. You know, you'd be glad with one or two. Instead, you get 2-for-2, and that's a
first
pretty
win ever.
Yeah, first win ever in Lawrence. A pretty amazing little week there for Scott Drew and company. So we'll talk about that a bit on the show today as well. Lady Bears also go 2-for-2 after their win over UConn last week. They continue on Big 12 play with a win yesterday against Oklahoma State, so we'll talk about that as well. Also tonight, you get the national championship game. Joining us here in about 15 minutes, we'll have Billy Embody of Go Tigers 24/7 to preview the LSU side of things. LSU and Clemson later on tonight. A lot of people expecting a blowout. More people expecting an LSU win. Can Clemson make it interesting? Which is funny to say, given their recent history. It's much prettier than LSU's, quite frankly. It's got some hardware to it, but yet they're being looked at as like this massive underdog going into tonight's game. So we'll talk about that with Billy Embody. We'll have NFL news and notes at 1 with Cover 3. And at 2, we'll be joined by Teresa Walker, who covers the Tennessee Titans. We'll talk about that dominant victory over Baltimore, Derrick Henry's recent run, Mike Vrabel, and more with Teresa Walker coming up at 2 o'clock. So a lot to get to, and before we talk national championship game with Billy Embody here in about 14 minutes from now, I do want to let you know the Bush's Chicken text line's open at 254-662 1660, as are the phone lines. So we got a little bit of time before Billy joins us at 1230. But coming up next, we'll get to any of your feedback on all the things that we just unraveled there that we'll be talking about throughout this afternoon, and maybe something we missed out on. You could chime in with that. But coming up next, James Lynch has finally made his decision, and Baylor football, are they ever going to hire a head coach? What is the latest on that? That's next. It's ESPN Central Texas.
Baylor Lady Bear Basketball on 92.9 FM.
The Lady Bears back in action Wednesday on the road in Lawrence to take on the Kansas Jayhawks. 6:30 for the countdown to tip-off. 7 p.m. tip-off Wednesday on 92.9 FM.
Lady Bear Basketball, all season long with Bruce Dietzen and Maggie Davis-Stinnett on 92.9 FM.
J.D. Power has honored Texas Farm Bureau Insurance for 8 consecutive years for the highest customer satisfaction with auto insurers in Texas. Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, protecting Texans since 1952.
If you want the best wings and pizza in Central Texas with an energetic atmosphere, look no further than Wings Pizza and Things in Temple, a smoke-free family environment committed to serving fresh, made-to-order food. There are dozens of large-screen, high-definition TVs to watch everything in sports, including, of course, the NFL and college football. Wings Pizza and Things serves only top-quality, large wings with 16 flavors, including their new Rim Reaper. All sandwiches come with fries, tots, or side salad, and delicious New York-style pizza. Wings Pizza and Things, celebrating 13 years strong in the Temple Town Center on the Southwest Dodging Loop in Temple.
This is Susan Kelly, and I want to congratulate Baylor's football team for its amazing performance this season. Since attending Baylor and later its law school, I've been dedicated to this community as a citizen and as a lawyer. If elected to the 19th District Court, I will continue this dedication, serving with honor and integrity. Early voting starts February 18th, and I ask for your vote. Happy New Year and justice for all.
This ad paid for by the Susan Kelly for District Judge campaign, Nancy Lacey, Treasurer.
Hi, my name is Amanda Cunningham. I am a local realtor that has a passion for people. I've helped clients buy and sell over 80 homes in 2019 and would love to help you buy or sell that perfect home. You deserve to get top dollar for your home. Listing with an experienced agent that specializes in not only promoting your home, but helping you get your home buyer ready is key. I have a team of people around me that make what I do each day possible. If you are searching for that perfect home, your experience should be pleasant and stress-free. Call me today. I want to meet you. 254-495-0338. Google Amanda Cunningham Realtor with Coldwell Banker Apex to find my website, Facebook, and more.
Set your aim high in 2020 with the Baylor Club, located inside McLean Stadium. Connect, host, work, and play in an upscale environment featuring chef-driven cuisine, business amenities, and events with the entire family in mind. ESPN Central Texas listeners receive a preferred joining incentive by mentioning this ad. Contact April or Stephanie today at 254-710-8080 to align your personal and professional goals at the Baylor Club.
A championship decision in business is partnering with Sean Hunt and UBO Business Services. With their 94% first-time fix rate, they leave their copier service competitors in the dust. Call Sean today at 772-1600. UBO Business Services.
Welcome back into UNR here on ESPN Central Texas. Going to have Billy Embody talking national championship game in our next segment. But James Lynch, Baylor defensive lineman, the junior, has finally made his decision with just a couple of days ago before the deadline to declare for the NFL draft as an early declaration as an underclassman. And no surprise, James Lynch is headed off to the NFL, putting out a letter earlier today saying, choosing Baylor was the best decision of my life. Receiving an education, playing football at this great university are easily some of my biggest blessings. My brothers and I poured our heart and soul into the Baylor football as we transformed this program into the toughest, most competitive, and hardest working team in the country. I'm so proud of what we accomplished going from 1-11 to 11-3 in three seasons. I am forever honored to be a part of this program. He went on to thank everybody from Matt Rhule to Frank Okham to Joey McGuire to Phil Snow, and just said that they all played a part in him becoming the player that he is, the person that he is, the man that he has become over these last 3 years, and said after a lot of prayer and discussion with family and coaches, he's going to go pursue the NFL. So James Lynch making it official. Don't think this comes as a surprise. We've mentioned it a couple times here over the last few days while awaiting his decision. I had gone back and forth, you know, when we were talking about it during Sugar Bowl week. And last week I was pretty adamant that I thought he was leaving, especially with Matt Rhule departing. Q's been on the he's leaving train for a really long time. I thought maybe with Matt Rhule coming back, he could do the whole senior ride and 11-3 and try to get into the playoff. And that would next year, hell, you don't know who your head coach is going to be. James Lynch is going off to the league, so... Q, what do you think with James Lynch and what he's likely looking at?
Well, I think it's a good decision by James Lynch. Again, I mean, with all the accolades that you already ran off that he does or he did for Baylor, I mean, there's really no reason. He has nothing else to prove, you know. And there's two guys in the league that the NFL wants the most. They want quarterbacks and they want guys that can get after the quarterback. And he can absolutely do that. He's a dog. He can get after the quarterback. He can stop the run. His motor doesn't stop. I mean, he's a guy I wouldn't be shocked at all to see him as a second-round dude, maybe even a late first-round dude. I mean, really, depending on how the draft falls in the draft, and quarterbacks are really going to take probably the first couple spots, but you know, Chase Young's going to go number two. That's the dog of all dogs. You know, we already know he's going to go number two to the Redskins. But after that, you know, where's these other guys going to fall in line at? And after he made that announcement, I saw a lot of different guys on Twitter talking about, oh, man, that's a big addition right there, because they weren't counting him in the mock drafts already. They weren't already putting him in there because he hadn't declared yet. So I think when you start to see this next round of mock drafts start coming out, I think you'll start to see James Lynch's name probably in the second round.
Yeah, it's really weird. I think maybe it's just because we're so close to the situation, or at least speaking for myself, that I don't necessarily view these guys the same way I'd view some underclassmen from LSU declaring early, or somebody I haven't actually watched as much. And maybe because I've watched James so much, I just go, well, he could be a little bit bigger, or he could be a little bit of this. And there's, look, not a lot of room for critique. I'm looking at, like, if you have to say something, what could that possibly be? So I'm a little bit tougher, I guess, is what I'm getting at, on guys that I'm watching on a weekly basis. Because seeing so much of them, you find these other little cracks versus a guy that you don't see that often. But there's no doubt he put up as good of a year as you can. Unanimous All-American, multiple sacks once again, multiple tackles for loss. I'm very curious where he goes. Maybe Matt Rhule takes a chance on him in Carolina, and you'll have some familiarity there. But either way, one of those 32 teams is going to select him. It just is a matter of, you know, what he does at the combine and at pro day, and what other teams think of him. But we'll see all that here in short order. So James Lynch is headed off to the NFL. And if he had stayed, he'd obviously have to play for somebody next year. But I got to tell you, if the coaching search to hire Matt Rhule is one of the quietest of all time, then this one is right there tied with it. 1A, 1B. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not hearing much of anything on anything when it comes to Baylor's coaching search. There's little names that are floated here and there. There's discussion about, oh, yes, there are interviews being conducted. But as far as, like, this interview was conducted with this guy, or this interview was conducted on this day, not hearing a whole lot of anything, quite frankly. It is a complete mystery as to where, at least from my chair over here, they are in the coaching search. Are you guys hearing any differently on that?
No, and that's how Mac Rhodes operates. You know, he operates real quietly, stealth mode, kind of, like, you, if you want to call it that. I mean, he just does things underneath the radar. Even when he had Matt Rhule interview, you know, he had, like, a booster's plane. It wasn't even, you know, you can't do the tracking the planes like a lot of people like to do, a lot of fan bases like to do, see where these different planes are going, where they're landing, who they could possibly be, and all that stuff. I mean, he has a way about himself where he's handling his business, so I have no doubt about it. He's conducting his interviews. He's taking care of what he's got to do. He's just doing it his way, at his pace, and, you know, quietly.
Yeah, it's been very quiet. And I would think, hear something in the next couple of days. I mean, at some point, you got to hire a head coach. And
I would feel like probably by the end of the week, we'll probably know something.
Yeah. And,
you know, just gut feeling.
Yeah, here on the 13th of January, by the end of the week, we'll be approaching the last few days of January, the last week and a half of January, and you got to sign a recruiting class. Like, you've got to sign a couple guys coming up. You don't have to go sign 10. You don't have room for 10, I don't believe. But you do have room suddenly for a couple new ones, with Graylin Arnold and James Lynch both declaring early for the draft. So whoever that new head coach is going to be, they're going to have to put some of their fingerprints on this roster and bring this recruiting class to a close, because they're not just going to stand pat with what they have. They'll be shorthanded. So, yeah, it's going to be a quick turnaround for whoever that is.
One little nugget about the coaches that were in the college football playoff this past year, and this has been floating around for a while, but every single one of them was promoted from within. Just going to go ahead and throw that out there.
Yeah, there's that. And I know that Joey McGuire is a hot name. I know that, you know, Jeff Nixon's been rumored to be involved, or Mike Serravo, or whoever. And, you know, the only thing about that is, how much of that same group can you really keep intact? Because if there's no Phil Snow and there's no Matt Rhule, and let's say there's no Saravo and there's no Frisman Jet, like if half the guys are not there, is it really what it was? But it's that mentality and it's the style with which they play and the attitude with which they bring. And so you want to keep that if you can. And Joey McGuire would certainly be a candidate to possibly do that.
You know, it's funny. Coach Mulkey actually pointed this out on Saturday, that there was an article written about Dabo Swinney and when he actually got the job and when he was promoted, is the fact that they knew he was going to be the right man for the job, because when they were out there at practice and they saw him operating, he would be the guy that all the players kind of gravitated to. And so I just, that kind of stood out in my mind when she had pointed that out after her media session on Saturday. And I thought, That's a good point. And so I'm just kind of wondering if that's how it is with Joey McGuire. And it feels like, just from what we see on Twitter, that all the players gravitate to him. Now, he might not have been the head coach. Matt Rhule obviously was. There's obviously other guys on the coaching staff, like you mentioned, Phil Snow, Frisman Jackson, everybody like that, all the assistants. But, you know, how much do these players just gravitate to Joey McGuire? And we already know he's a leader of men. He did it at Cedar Hill. I mean, that's nothing to shake a stick at. I mean, that's a – not how do you put it where it's the nicest? If he gets that opportunity, I think he can handle it.
What made her bring that up?
I started talking about – I think I was talking with Jerry about – we had just said something out loud, and so she had said she had read that article.
Yeah, well, I'm sure she's kind of smirking to herself over the Matt Rhule situation. Not like in a petty, mean way, but – she's loyal to Baylor, and Scott Drew has been loyal to Baylor. And I think one thing that maybe rubbed Kim the wrong way, or maybe some others, was kind of his constant flirtation. Not that they didn't like Matt Rhule, but it was kind of hard for everybody to buy in when one foot was almost seemingly out the door. And so I'm sure she would be like a lot of fans out there who would just love to see somebody who's going to keep both feet indoors and not decide to, you know, go out and look around. But you can't blame Matt Rhule for the situation he's landed in. He got what he ultimately wanted, mm-hmm. and that's what he's trying to get, is what his dreams are. But, yeah, I think there's something to be said for what you just mentioned and for somebody who's going to be wanting to hang around here for a little while. Coming up next, Billy Embody talking national championship game, the ESPN Central Texas.
Recently on You Make the Call.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. I just want to say, first of all, thank y'all for all the coverage y'all did there in New Orleans and everything else. It's a great job. I don't see how you could have done it any better. I'm always know everybody always kind of looks back and see maybe we could have done this or this, but I can't think of a thing. But I appreciate y'all doing that for everybody back here in Central Texas. But the main thing is, my legacy deal for this team, heck, y'all, I mean, they're 2 years ahead of anything that I would have expected. I mean, I was hoping they'd be at this point where they're at right now, 2 years down the road. I mean, I thought maybe 7 wins, 8 wins would be really good. Anything above that was gravy on the steak. You know, so I mean, you know, their legacy is they're way ahead of where they're at, and they're in a good place to, you know, maybe take another step. You know, even if they stay status quo, exactly what they did this year, that's still going to be a heck of a season, y'all.
You Make the Call on ESPN Central Texas.
I hate my job,
but I don't mind getting up in the morning.
I dread each day,
but I can't wait to get out of bed.
You ask me why,
and what I'll say to you is true. Well, you can get breakfast tacos at Rudy's Barbecue. Scrambled eggs and brisket, they ain't fooling around. Salsa draft, son, they're the best in town.
Barbecue for breakfast, yes, it's true.
Put a smile on your morning at Rudy's Barbecue.
Next in line.
Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way. So it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949. Because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley. We're brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. It's a December employee pricing for everyone event with our best year-end deals. Come see the difference that so many of our friends have raved about. Transparent pricing, the highest trade allowances and a huge inventory of new Chevrolets for you to choose from. Or check us out online at turnerchevy.com. That's Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. Sick 'em, Bears!
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Stephen Simcox with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Baylor defensive lineman James Lynch announced on his Twitter account this morning he will forego his senior season and enter the NFL draft. Lynch finished the season with 13.5 sacks, which is a Baylor single season record. He also holds the Baylor career record for sacks with 22. Lynch became the second Baylor defensive player to become an early entry into the draft. Cornerback Graylin Arnold announced he would forego his final season of eligibility last week. The Rangers have signed free agent first baseman Todd Frazier to a one-year deal. Frazier spent last season with the Mets and hit 251 with 21 home runs and 133 games. Tonight on ESPN Central Texas, we have the College Football National Championship game on our airwaves. Clemson scores off with LSU. Coverage starts at 5:30 and kickoff is set for 7 o'clock. You can hear it all right here on ESPN Central Texas.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas. Welcome back to Unnecessary Roughness. A Turbo Boost solid-state hard drive can speed up your computer. Drop by Prompt Technology in Waco today to learn more. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
And welcome back into UNR here on ESPN Central Texas. Craig Smoke, your boy Q, and Stephen Simcox producing. And later on tonight, the final college football game of the year. The national championship will be decided as LSU takes on Clemson. And get a preview of tonight's festivities. Joining us now on the phone lines is Billy Embody, who covers LSU for Go247.com. And Billy, as always, we do appreciate your time. It feels like it's been a long time since we've seen these two teams play. There's been just countless hype videos and commercials for the broadcast and all of that, but they're finally getting a chance to play. Billy, just with this long layover, how do you think that's affected the teams? Kind of how has LSU dealt with that, and how cranked up and ready are they to just get out there on the field tonight, you think?
Yeah, I think both teams are really ready to go. It's been too long for them to have this type of layoff, almost 2 weeks for both teams. And I think for LSU, they treated it like they normally do a game week. They were able to get back to practice on Wednesday and kind of move their week back a couple days to make it feel like a Monday and then a Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and just approach it that same way. And that's really what's helped them throughout the season. They've been able to just kind of focus in on every game being just that, a game, and not, you know, trying to knock off Alabama or trying to win its first SEC title since 2011 or do all of those things. They've approached each game the same, and I expect them to do the same with Clemson.
You know, I kind of been under that belief that they're just one of those special teams. Like, they're one of those that it almost feels like they're just destined to be the national champions. But looking at their wide receivers and looking how explosive LSU is offensively and then Clemson defensively, it almost feels like if anyone has a chance to slow them down with their wide receivers, Clemson's defensive backs could do that.
Yeah, and I think for me, the Clemson defense is really, I don't know. I think for LSU, they probably turned on that Ohio State film, and they feel pretty good about throwing the football. Ohio State racked up over 500 yards of total offense. They just made some key mistakes and weren't able to execute in the red zone and do all the things that you've got to do to score against a really good defense. And I think how LSU goes about finishing drives in the red zone and not settling for field goals and getting touchdowns will be the difference in this one, because, you know, both offenses are explosive. Both offenses have great quarterbacks, and the ones that are able to take care of business in the red zone is probably going to be the difference.
I imagine the layoff was good for running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. How is he feeling, Billy, how do you think he'll be used tonight? I know he was kind of limited in that Oklahoma game.
Yeah, he was limited in the Oklahoma game. We saw him get two carries, and he showed a little bit of burst on one of them and really kind of pushed through an Oklahoma defender, but you could tell he was maybe about 70%. I think he's 100% now. He said he's 100% ready to go, and I expect him to be used in all the different ways they use him. In the passing game, he's one of the most versatile running backs in the country and one of the most explosive when healthy, so I think they'll just continue to use him exactly the way they have all year. And I mean, he's somebody that just makes that offense go. When he's on, they're already really tough to stop, but when he's on, it's almost another level.
Joe Burrow's obviously had a magical season. He made all the difference in the world for this LSU squad. How can Clemson try and get in his head, if that's possible? How can they try to rattle him, Billy, other than just getting to him? How do you expect Clemson to try and fluster the Golden Boy, who's been pretty untouchable all year?
Yeah, Brent Venables, I don't envy him having this type of a task to deal with for this game, because Joe Burrow's just been that, like you said. He's been tough to rattle. He really hasn't been rattled this season, and I don't really know, because Joe Burrow, he's told us this a lot this season. Every defense they've faced has not come out in the same defense that they have all year. Each team has really come out and tried to play LSU a different way and attack them in different ways than they've seen on film. And so it's going to be interesting to see how he does it. But he is one of the highest paid defensive coordinators in college football. He's creative. And that'll certainly help him when he's trying to figure this one out.
Sticking with the defense, but on the LSU side of things, how do they try to slow down a guy who's very explosive from the backfield and also catching the ball in Travis Etienne?
Yeah, I don't know if there's somebody that really matches up well with him for LSU, unless they maybe put Jacoby Stevens, a safety, on him. But he's going to be super motivated coming into this one, because LSU snubbed him in the recruiting process and then kind of circled back and tried to recruit him late, and he still went off to Clemson. And so he's playing back in his home state. The last time he played here in the Sugar Bowl against Alabama 2 years ago, he really struggled as a true freshman, got hit pretty good on one of the plays and just wasn't the same. So he's trying to show that he in his home state, he can finish out his college career strong. I think he goes off to the NFL after this, and what a way for him to do it with, to get a national championship over the team that stubbed you in the recruiting process.
How big was it, just, I guess, from a distraction standpoint, and then moving forward, to get that Joe Brady contract extension locked up and kind of get that announced and put some of those rumors, at least for now, to rest as they focus in on the national title game?
Yeah, I don't think it was too big of a distraction. The way Joe handled everything has been really good. His representatives handled all of that and were able to not let it become a distraction and not let it be something that I think kind of overtook the season and became a real narrative. That's something that Joe's really done a good job with. But yeah, it's a big positive for LSU. I think there's still a worry that an NFL team can come in and change things. But as of now, I mean, I fully expect them back at LSU.
The internet has allowed us to see a lot of great hype videos, but nobody has touched what LSU has done consistently this year. I saw their hype video for tonight's game drop earlier today. They got The Rock narrating it, despite the fact I don't think he has any LSU ties, Billy, but they just had star after star, Anthony Mackie last week, who's in the MCU and all of that. Just I know that articles have been written about it, but for those who maybe haven't caught on to that, can you get into LSU's hype video craze and just the magic they've been able to work with those all year?
They've just got an outstanding creative department. I mean, it's really they do an incredible job, and it's just to come up with that creativity each week is just really impressive. And to get these, you know, celebrities and former players and everyone on the same page to record, I mean, it takes a lot of work. I mean, there's The Rock's busy. I mean, Anthony Mackie's busy. I mean, to get these guys lined up is just tremendous. But look, The Rock doesn't have an LSU connection, but he does have a Ed Ogeron connection. Ed Ogeron was The Rock's defensive line coach back in the Miami Hurricanes days when he was a linebacker for the U. So maybe a little bit of a favor for Coach O to get him to help him out and help out his creative department.
I talked about it earlier about me feeling like this is just kind of a magical season for LSU. Obviously, we know that Joe Burrow won't be there next season. He'll be off in the NFL, most likely with the Bengals. Is this something that can be sustained? Is this something that will be consistent for LSU, or was this one of those just magical special years?
I mean, it's a magical special year. There's no question about it. But LSU does return the Blitnikoff Award winner, Jamar Chase, Terrace Marshall, another former five-star wide receiver. They've recruited well at the position. They bring back most of their offensive line. We'll see if Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes to the NFL draft. I think after the season he's had, he'll probably go. We'll just have to see. But I think depending on if they go after a transfer quarterback again, they try that route, that could maybe be the difference in this thing being sustainable, or more of a one-year wonder from the perspective of, you know, look, Joe Burrow, what he's done is unbelievable, and there's not many that are ever going to do it like he did this past season, regardless of what happens tonight. But it's an offense that's built for quarterbacks to succeed with, and if you get the right guy in there, it's going to be explosive.
Billy Embody, go Tiger 24/7. Join us here on ESPN Central Texas. What is the matchup that's most in LSU's favor in your mind, and what's the matchup that's the biggest question mark for you?
I think the thing that's most in favor for LSU is the wide receivers versus the secondary, and then on the Clemson side of things, I would say Travis Etienne versus whoever's matched up with him.
And final thing for you, do you see this in any way becoming as lopsided as some people have expected it to be? I mean, I think I've seen everybody picking LSU at this point in time. Some think that they might win big. Just with Clemson's pedigree, how do you kind of see tonight unfolding?
I think we're in for a good game, so let me make that very clear. But I do think LSU is going to pull away, and it's just going to be too much for them. For Clemson, I mean, why bet against Joe Burrow at this point of the year? I mean, he's anytime anyone's thought he might run into a team that can slow him down, he's delivered and more. And so I expect him to have a huge game in his final game at LSU, capping just an incredible time in Baton Rouge. I think LSU wins 48-31.
Well, it should be a very entertaining, very fun game. Dabo versus Ed O. You got Joe Burrow and Lawrence. And, man, just a lot of star power. Billy Embody can be found on Twitter, at Billy Embody, and, of course, over at go247.com as well, covering the LSU Tigers. Hey, Billy, thanks so much for your time this afternoon, man. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. There's Billy Embody with us here on ESPN Central Texas. A little bit of a preview for tonight's matchup.
Leon hit us up on the Bush and Chicken text line, said Clemson by 14, maybe 21. And it's funny because all I saw was by 14, maybe 21. And I said, oh, yeah, I agree. And then he responded again. I go, wait, hold on. I got LSU. I don't got Clemson. My bad. So, yeah, Leon thinks that Clemson's going to get it. He said, I don't believe in a one-hit wonder quarterback. So that's fair.
Okay, yeah, and Joe Burrow. You know what? I'm almost being pushed to root for Clemson in this game just because I've seen so much overwhelming positivity for LSU that it's almost like just trying to be different, you know, without trying to be different, but just I'm seeing so many people go in that direction. I'm almost like somehow Clemson is an underdog.
Which
you know
is insane,
I mean?
Right? Yeah. It's insane to think that Clemson's an underdog, but I feel like I told Billy, man, I just feel like this season is just magical and special, and I'm not saying this is going to start some big run for LSU and they're going to be the next hot thing, but I just feel like they're the hot thing right now.
Yeah, they are.
What I mean? Like, I just sometimes you just are in the right place at the right time, you strike gold, and you just run with it, and I just feel like that's going to pay off tonight for them.
Yeah, they're the team of the year, unless they lose tonight, and then Clemson would be the team of the year. A very quiet 15-0 for the Clemson Tigers, not so quiet for the LSU Tigers if they manage to go 15-0. But, yeah, I'm almost rooting for Clemson, even though they've been there, done that here recently, just because I'm just seeing so much love in LSU's direction. But somebody's taking their first loss tonight, and LSU has been on quite the run. They've won 15 straight games. Clemson's won 29 straight games. So somebody's winning streak is coming to an end later on this evening. And two future NFL guys at quarterback, a lot of future NFL guys on both sides of the football as well. My biggest thing with Clemson is just that they shouldn't even be in this game. It should be Ohio State in this game, in my opinion. I think some of the officiating in that Clemson-Ohio State game got a bit wonky. And cost the Buckeyes, and I don't typically feel sorry for teams like that because more often than not they get the benefit of the doubt, but I'm still not convinced Clemson was the best team in that game. You know, that's not to say they can't go beat LSU, but that is my biggest question about them, is they did need to pull one out, and they did, versus Ohio State, but I still wonder, are they even, you know, at this point better than Ohio State? So Ohio State LSU would have been a lot of fun. That would have been lot of fun, but Clemson LSU should be a lot of fun as well. And any questions that I have or anybody else has about Clemson and how they got here, those can be answered tonight.
Well, JR hit us up on the Bush Chicken text line as well. Clemson wins by 4, going to pull the Titans over the Ravens like I called it last week. Again, that's from JR.
All right. So there's some feedback on the national championship game tonight. A little bit of Clemson, a little bit of LSU. If you want to chime in on that yourself, 254-662-1660. Take a break right here. Thanks to Billy Embody of go247.com. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Baylor Lady Bear Basketball on 92.9 FM.
The Lady Bears back in action Wednesday on the road in Lawrence to take on the Kansas Jayhawks. 6:30 for the countdown to tip-off. 7 p.m. tip-off Wednesday on 92.9 FM.
Lady Bear Basketball all season long with Bruce Geetson and Maggie Davis-Stinnett on 92.9 FM.
Congratulations to the Green and Gold for a great 2019 football season. InCommons Bank enjoys being part of the community here in Waco, and we are excited to see what the 2020 football season will bring on the Brazos. Our mission at InCommons Bank is to be the best community bank in Central Texas, and we are doing just that. Our locations include Mejia, Fairfield, Coolidge, Mart, Rosebud, and Waco. Stop by any of our branches or visit us online at InCommonsBank.com to find out more about us. Come see me, Regina, and go Green and Gold.
Member FDIC.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct.
Winter is here, and many of you realizing it's time to replace those old, drafty windows. Call Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas and schedule an in-home consultation where you can discuss your specific window needs with an expert team member. Universal's exclusive Unishield windows are spaced using aerospace technology called Super Spacer and have a life expectancy five times that of other systems. And they offer 0% financing for 60 months. That's 0% financing for 60 months. Contact Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas for a free in-home estimate. UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. at UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. 254-301-7760. And be sure to check out their great Google reviews.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
After my first car accident, I feared the biggest damage would be to my wallet. I expected a mountain of bills and a long, drawn-out process. But my Texas Farm Bureau insurance agent was there when I needed her and helped me get back on my feet and in my car in no time. Instead of a hassle, I got reassurance and a quick recovery.
Visit Texas Farm Bureau Insurance today at tfbinsurance.com to find an agent who's there when you need them most. Coverage and discounts are subject to qualifications and policy terms and may vary by situation.
Waco Custom Marketplace is your home for holiday favorites, for parties and time with the family, including various specials available in-store and online, including these customer favorites: choice beef tenderloin, boneless pit ham, whole smoked turkey, and prime rib roast. There's a ribeye gift box with four ribeyes and steak butter for $55. Steak and lobster box for the same price with two lobster tails and two bacon-wrapped fillets. New York strip or bacon-wrapped fillet gift box for $45 with four pieces of New York strip or bacon-wrapped fillets and steak butter. There's the fall snack gift box with summer sausage, split horn, and jalapeno cheese, and salted crackers. Add two bacon-wrapped fillets. It's $45. And the holiday bundle gift box with two ribeyes, two bacon-wrapped fillets, two New York strip steaks for just $60. Double the amount, get $10 off. Order online or call in advance to ensure availability, or drop by Waco Custom Marketplace, 425 Lake Air Drive in Waco.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Stephen Simcox with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Baylor defensive lineman James Lynch announced on his Twitter account this morning that he will forego his senior season and enter the NFL draft. Lynch finished the season with 13.5 sacks, which is a Baylor single-season record. He also holds a Baylor career record for sacks with 22. Lynch became the second Baylor defensive player to become an early entry into the draft. Cornerback Graylin Arnold announced he would forego his final season of eligibility last week. The Rangers have signed free agent first baseman Todd Frazier to a one-year deal. Frazier spent last season with the Mets and hit .251 with 21 home runs and 133 games. Tonight on ESPN Central Texas, we have the College Football National Championship game on our airwaves. Clemson scores off with LSU. Coverage starts at 5:30 and kickoff is set for 7 o'clock. You can hear it all right here on ESPN Central Texas.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
Back here on ESPN Central Texas, and I was just answering a DM from a guy. And I just saw it.
Did he just say what's up?
No.
Did he ask you to go on his show next season?
Well, I did get asked to go on a show, and I got asked to go on a show to talk Baylor coaching search, and I'm responding to the guy. I don't have anything to say.
Right. Like, yeah.
I mean, I'll be a guest on your show, but I don't have any candidates to name. I don't have any timeline. I don't have any anything. So I'm just responding to the guy like, hey, I'll be happy to join you, but I don't know what we're going to talk about because you've got as much information as I do at this point. So hopefully that changes here in the next few days. I would imagine they can't really wait too much longer than past this week. I mean, I guess in theory it's possible, but you would really prefer to not drag it out too long. And I don't know about you, but I can kind of feel from the fan base, it'd be one thing if there's a lot of rumors going around and people could kind of latch on to something, but the fact that there isn't anything going around,
which might be better, because look, we had a lot of rumors before Matt Rule got hired and it ended up being none of them.
But the fact that there isn't anything going around, I think these people are just kind of like sitting on their hands, like they don't know what to do with themselves, because it's like, we need a rumor or a name or something, but that's just not been the case. So yeah, I'm responding to this guy like, hey, be happy to, but don't know what we're going to talk about.
Right, don't have any idea. Speaking of coaching search, Tom and Woodway hit us up on the Bush and Chicken text line. He said, if you're going to go outside the house, my choice would be Brett Venables. If Baylor is ever going to make a big-name hire, they will never get a better chance than now. Again, that's from Tom and Woodway. And I said, yeah, that would be a good one. He said, keep in mind, he has Big 12 history.
Yeah, he does. He was at Oklahoma for the longest until they got tired of him and basically laid the blame for not winning national championships at his feet. And then went back and got Mike Stoops, and we know how that worked out, and really nothing's changed. I mean, it's pretty much been the same Oklahoma program, whether it's Stoops or Riley or Stoops and Venables and whatever combination you want to throw out there. Win the Big 12, maybe go unbeaten or have one loss, get to a national championship opportunity or playoff, and fall short. And Brent Venables was able to leave Oklahoma and go on to a pretty sweet gig where he's really carved out a name for himself. I'd be curious at this stage if he's all that interested in being a head coach. And even if he was, I'm sure Baylor would, you know, especially with them wanting to kind of mimic the Clemson program in some ways, just the way that it's set up, the way that it's led and all of that, I'm sure they would have a lot of interest in a Clemson guy. I'm just, you know, curious as to how he would be as a head coach. Don't think that that's some surefire, guaranteed hire. And I know that nothing is. Matt Rule, in hindsight, looks that way, but certainly didn't appear that way for about a year. So, yeah, I don't know. That's definitely a name I've heard brought up.
Yeah, me too.
Not necessarily for sure interview or anything like that, but certainly a name I've heard in the mix, and he would be an interesting choice.
And it would make sense why, you know, you don't hear anything about him until maybe starting tomorrow.
Sure.
Kind of got something else going on. Got a text message from the 254. I've got Clemson by three. Anytime everyone has this much hype, take the underdog, look no further than Tennessee.
That's kind of how I feel about this. There's so many people picking LSU, so I'm right there with you. I haven't gone out and fully predicted Clemson. I'll go ahead and do that now. I'm going to go with Clemson tonight.
Are you really?
Yeah, why not? I mean, nothing that I'm going to really pay for if I'm wrong.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't just get that. I get that weird feeling of there's so much in favor of LSU
Who you got, Sammy? Who you got? Come on. Who you got?
I'm going to LSU. I think it'll be a close game, but I think LSU wins it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to LSU, and I don't even think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be, like I told Leon earlier, 14-21-point victory for LSU.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. So,
which means that Clemson will probably be hoisting the trophy later on tonight, and they'll be happy that I picked against them.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I had to put money down on it, I'm going to go with LSU,
right?
I mean, just a smart choice is LSU. I think they're like 5.5-point favorites, something like that, because I'm sure there's a lot of people hammering Clemson feeling kind of the same way that I am right now, of like, hey, this is the defending national champions, getting no respect whatsoever. But I also know how good LSU's been this year, so man, what a game it should be. I mean, really, it should be a fantastic football game, and I hope that's what we get and not some lopsided, you know, let's run out the fourth quarter type of affair. All right, it's 12:55. We'll take a break right here. We'll get into our 1 o'clock hour. We'll have NFL news and notes, of which I'm sure there are many coming out of a weekend with four games and now whittled down to the championship games. Just a couple of actual game weekends to go for the NFL for this season. So we'll get into that, start things off. This ESPN Central Texas.
Baylor Big 12 basketball all season long with Pat and John on ESPN Central Texas.
The Bears back home in the Farrell Center Wednesday hosting Iowa State. 6:30 for the countdown to tip-off. It's a 7 p.m. tip-off Wednesday for the Bears and the Cyclones Big 12 basketball.
Follow the Bears all season long here on the home of the Bears, ESPN Central Texas.
Hi, this is Bambi Eskew from Alan Samuels House of Travel. When was the last time you experienced an adventure that took your breath away? Well, the time is now. Holland American Line and Alan Samuels House of Travel proudly present Onstage Alaska, an exhilarating live performance and stunning visual presentation. You'll discover all the great land has to offer. Towering mountains, ice age glaciers, abundant wildlife, dog sledding, gold panning, and so much more. All in the hands of Alaska's oldest and most respected cruise line company, Holland American Line. Onstage Alaska, here for a one-night presentation, Tuesday, January 14th at the Waco Hippodrome Theater. Doors will open at 6 p.m., presentation at 6:30. Don't miss this refreshingly different travel show or the opportunity for all the special bonus travel benefits that we will offer. Onstage Alaska. Call Alan Samuels House of Travel today for any questions and to RSVP. 254-776-2560, and we hope to see you there.
Set your aim high in 2020 with the Baylor Club, located inside McLean Stadium. Connect, host, work, and play in an upscale environment featuring chef-driven cuisine, business amenities, and events with the entire family in mind. ESPN Central Texas listeners receive a preferred joining incentive by mentioning this ad. Contact April or Stephanie today at 254-710-8080 to align your personal and professional goals at the Baylor Club.
Okay, so what's the most important point about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way, so it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949. Because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
Myatt Fuels. You call, we haul is a high-quality fuel and lubricant distribution company based out of Clifton and West. Myatt Fuels provides our local area with a wholesale delivery of on-road diesel, off-road, farm diesel, gasoline, and non-ethanol. Myatt Fuels has been in Central Texas for several years and based their success on the company's values, integrity, and commitment to their clients with superior service and dedication. Call Nick at Myatt Fuels with all your off-road, farm, on-road, and gasoline delivery needs. Now available non-ethanol gasoline. Call 675-8107 Myatt Fields, or look them up on Facebook.
I hate my job,
but I don't mind getting up in the morning.
I dread each day,
but I can't wait to get out of bed.
You ask me why,
and what I'll say to you is true. Well, you can get breakfast tacos at Rudy's Barbecue. Scrambled eggs and brisket, they ain't fooling around. Salsa drops on, they're the best in town.
Barbecue for breakfast, yes, it's true.
Put a smile on your morning at Rudy's Barbecue.
Next in line.
Have you been tagged yet again in an engagement ring photo? Are hints being dropped all around you? Rest assured, D'Amore Fine Jewelers has been rescuing men seeking the perfect ring for over 25 years. Come in with a picture of her dream ring and we'll make it a reality. With our five-year financing, custom design team, and selection of diamonds, we'll make the whole process fun and enjoyable. D'Amore Fine Jewelers on West Waco Drive.
Hi, this is Brad Sham. Snowwood Dental is your comfortable and remarkable home for a full spectrum of general dentistry starting at age 6 months. They feature a specialized treatment of TMJ pain known as bioesthetics, the highest degree of bite correction treatment that relieves patients of pain and gives them the smile of a lifetime. From simple fillings to full cosmetic reconstructions, Snowwood Dental also specializes in oral or IV sedation, implants, and wisdom teeth removal. They accept most insurance policies, including Medicaid and CHIP, at Snowwood Dental in Robinson.
KRZI Waco, K256BW Waco, ESPN Central Texas.
3, 2, and showtime.
Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Boozer's Jewelers Premier Diamonds and the Wedding Ring Store on the corner of Valley Mills and Lake Air in Waco. The 1 o'clock hour of Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Chapman's Bail Bonds.
Let's get it.
This is Unnecessary Roughness. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
And welcome into the 1 o'clock hour of UNR here on ESPN Central Texas. We have some breaking news in the world of baseball before we get into NFL news and notes with Q's Cover 3. I just mentioned, like a half hour ago that we're still waiting word on the Astros. We'll probably get that relatively soon. Well, how about the timing of that? As we've got the Astros punishment now handed down from Major League Baseball. So, folks, the investigation into the Astros using various techniques with video equipment to catch signals from the opposing teams. This was, allegedly involving last season at times. It was allegedly involving the season prior to that. And this is allegedly involving, a lot of different people and moving parts. Well, Major League Baseball, who's now investigating also with the Red Sox, mm-hmm. and there's others that are going to have, something come down the pipeline for them as well, like Boston. But for the Astros, here you go. 1 year suspensions for general manager Jeff Luhnow and manager A.J. Hinch. 1 year for both GM and manager. They will also lose their first and second round draft picks this year and the following year in 2021. They've also been fined $5 million. So there is the bulk of the penalties handed down by MLB to the Astros. 1 year suspensions for GM Jeff Luhnow, manager A.J. Hinch. And it'll be interesting to see what they can still do. Mm-hmm. And obviously can't, be in the dugout and managing the actual team. But, what can the GM still do outside of the realm of games and things like that? Can he be a part of anything? Or is this full-on one-year suspension and you can't do any business whatsoever?
That's what it sounds like it is.
Yeah.
I'd love to know the clarity on that.
Is really interesting.
Do coaches have any sort of appeal process?
I don't know about that.
They better find one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hell of a suspension, man. That is nothing to shake a stick at, man. 1 year for the GM and the manager, that is major.
I mean, short of firing somebody.
Yeah.
Or just telling you, banning somebody. It's about as steep as you can get.
Yep. And yeah. Two number ones and two number twos in the draft. And we know they've drafted very well. The $5 million fine, I mean, unless you attach like a couple more numbers to that, nobody's really going to blink an eye too much at a singular figure $1 million fine for any franchise. But yeah, that's still $5 million that you don't have now. But the suspension for your GM and manager and a lot of draft picks lost. And I'm already seeing. That's too soft or that's not enough. I don't really know what else you were going to do.
Right.
I mean, what else
exactly.
are you going to do?
No, I don't know either. That's major, though. That's major.
Yeah, so there you have it. There is the punishment that's been handed down by Major League Baseball. So for any Astros fan that wants to say, oh, they didn't do anything wrong, well, yeah, they had to have because, there otherwise wouldn't have been a punishment had they not done anything wrong. So, there you go with the Astros punishment as we now know it.
We'll have Hunter Atkins at 2:30 today.
All right, okay. Sweet.
Never mind. So that's what I was saying.
Hunter Atkins of the Houston Chronicle will join us today at 2:30 to talk the Astros getting some finality with their punishment for Major League Baseball. So there you go. And now let's get into some NFL news and notes with Q's Cover 3.
Domination. Return coming in. It's Hardman. Johnson has an angle on him. Did he step out? They don't say he stepped out. He takes it another 20 yards. Now a guy comes up and marks it at the 42. 57 yards.
What a job. And you can see why he's a pro bowler. He's got speed.
It's time for Cover 3 with your boy Q. Brought to you by Centex Irrigation, Walk-On's Bistro and Bar, Colby Carpenter of Keller Williams Realty, and Bella Therapies.
I kind of feel bad now using that highlight to start things off with, saying we just delivered the Astros news. Like, Houston's not hurting enough. And that was a highlight right there from the Texans' loss against the Chiefs while they were up 24-0 and allowed 41 unanswered points. And to me, I highlighted that play right there, that kickoff return by rookie Mecole Hardman, because I felt like that was the biggest play of the game. The Texans decided not to go for it on 4th and inches while they were dominating, while they were looking really good, looking like the Chiefs couldn't stop them. They refused to go for the kill shot. Bill O'Brien kicks a field goal, and the very next play is that kickoff, and boom, all of a sudden Hardman gives them that kind of life with that big time return. Three plays later, they're in the end zone, and immediately they start cooking like grease and cooking with grease, and then all of a sudden, boom. They're losing the game. They're looking up, wondering what happened. They go into halftime down 28-24, not knowing what happened. 41 unanswered points. I just feel like that was bad coaching. I said it at the beginning of the show. If you have the opportunity to go for the kill shot, man, you have to go for it. Now, look, I know the Chiefs could score a lot of points quick, fast, and in a hurry. We saw that. They put up 51 in the game. But it's something about being down 28-0 to 24-0. 24-0 feels like you're still in it. 28-0 is like, what am I doing? I'm drowning here. And so I thought that Bill O'Brien, which he was going to go for at first, it looked like he was going for it at first. He calls a timeout and ends up kicking a field goal. I thought that was just bad, bad coaching.
So you would have gone for it.
Yeah, go for the kill shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you don't get it, and then they say later, well, you should have kicked the field goal. Hey, look, man, do you know how many points this team could put up? Field goals ain't going to win this game. I'll tell you, Craig, I ain't lying either. When they decided to kick that field goal, I looked over at the wife, and she said, field goals ain't going to win this game. I go, thank you. Thank you. I was about to say that. And she's like, oh, I know you were. She's like, it's not going to happen. The Chiefs are going to come back and score. And I said, yeah, they will. And boom, there you go.
Thing about it is, shouldn't have mattered if it was 24-0 or 28-0. Shouldn't have blown that lead.
No, you're right. I mean? Yeah, you're right.
So that call shouldn't even have mattered. Shouldn't even have mattered what they did there. They should have just gotten points and been, you know, satisfied with that. But hey, when it doesn't work out, you have to go back, and hindsight's 20/20. And yeah, they should have gone ahead and ran a play there and tried to score a touchdown, mm-hmm. because maybe that's the key to them holding on to that lead. But instead, they do boot the field goal, and I know there's a lot of people questioning many decisions, but that's the biggest one, I think, from yesterday that people are talking
about. And
then
I heard Steven talking about it earlier. It's like, okay, you decide not to go for it on 4th and inches, but then I'm going to go for it on 4th and 4 in my territory?
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like, hey, I know I made a mistake by not going for it from 4th and inches, so I'm going to make up for it now. So that's how the snowball started, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it certainly did. And, you know, he's been getting away with some other, you know, questionable decisions. Mm-hmm. Got away with some against Buffalo, and has throughout the year, quite frankly, you know, made some decisions from time to time that people certainly have some critique of. But, yeah, that was something that snowballed very quickly. It's frightening how quickly Kansas City can put points on the board.
Scary.
And for them to be facing a hole like that, 24-0, and just climb out of it like they were climbing out of bed in the morning was pretty impressive stuff.
It really was. And today, Texans head coach Bill O'Brien said that the organization will likely keep the current structure and run and operate every day without a GM like it's been doing. So he's still the head coach and de facto GM until further notification, and it doesn't look like that notification is coming down anytime soon.
Well, that's the thing that's got to trouble Texans fans is just how much power he has. Mm-hmm. You know, he can't really fire himself. So anybody looking to fire Bill O'Brien, it's got to basically come from ownership. And in this case, a GM would normally be a part of any post-game talks or the day after the season wraps up types of talks, but Bill O'Brien's just talking to himself.
Yeah.
So he's got that kind of luxury. I don't know how long he'll be able to hang on to that, but right now, yeah, there's not really anybody to make his seat hot other than ownership, and I don't know how involved really they are to, you know, come out after a game like that and really do much of anything.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, he's a guy with some power and a guy who's, you know, obviously not very loved, but he does have control of that organization. And if they don't make some types of moves, then I think Texas
fans
will riot.
Yeah.
So I don't feel safe if I'm Romeo Crennel. I don't feel safe on some of the other assistants because they'll no doubt shake it up a little bit. But I don't like that quote coming out of that game yesterday. They're not going to do much of anything.
Right, exactly. My guy Phil, who's a big Astros fan, he's a big Texans fan as well. He just said, I'd be okay with that suspension, talking about the Astros one, if we can throw in Bill O'Brien too.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
That lets you know right there where Texans fans are with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, did you watch his post-game press conference?
No, I didn't watch that.
I heard it was pretty painful.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I have no doubt about it, and especially after the headlines he made last week with the, you know, the TMZ video, and that's just not a good look, even though it's technically not illegal, but it's not a good look. It's just a lot of things that aren't really shaping up too well right now for Billy O.
No, they're not. And, yeah, that video was an interesting look. We played that last week, but I think it's getting a lot more traction now with him being kind of the fun guy to make fun of in some ways. But, yeah, I'm sure they'll shake some things up in the offseason. I know that Deshaun Watson came out and said there's no doubt he's the right coach for this team, and he's got the player support. But that's also typically something you see right before the hammer drops.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think we'll see Bill O'Brien back on the Houston sidelines next year, but he's got to reach a point here pretty soon where it's kind of do or die time.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
You've got to get over the hump one way or the other. So, yeah, I think we're starting to, if you weren't already, and some may have, but start that timer on Bill O'Brien and his tenure with the Texans, because that one yesterday is certainly a milestone in when we look back on what he accomplished or didn't. That's going to be a game yesterday that we definitely look back on when categorizing Bill O'Brien.
Absolutely. And as of right now, all the head coaching positions that were vacant in the NFL are now filled. The Browns have finally hired their guy. We thought it was going to be Josh McDaniels. He was the guy for the job, it looked like. He was the favorite in the clubhouse. Well, they go with Vikings offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski. He was the guy that came in second last season to Freddie Kitchens. He was a guy that he had interviewed for that job, and there's some folks in the front office of the Browns that really wanted him, and they end up giving it to Kitchens, and then Kitchens gets fired a year later, and so Stefanski gets the job. There's not a whole lot about him. It's not a whole lot about him. I don't think that this is a great hire. I think this is something that we're going to look back at in a year or two or say, well, now that Stefanski's out, who's the next guy up? You know, I just don't feel very excited about this for Cleveland. Don't think he's going to bring a whole lot to the table. If anyone saw the Minnesota Vikings and their performance over the weekend, it was in nothing spectacular as far as offensive genius or anything. So I don't really know what he's going to bring to Cleveland. I was really angry in that game, matter of fact. The Vikings and 49ers, very angry. I told you guys multiple times, for the Vikings to have a chance in that game, they had to have a heavy dose of the run game. And it's like they refused to run the ball. They refused to use Dalvin Cook the way they should. They were trying to do little screen passes here or there and little dump offs here and there, but you got to run the rock. If that's the 49ers Achilles heel, run the ball.
Well, and he had nowhere to go. I mean, he was brought down pretty much on immediate contact. The 49ers were not letting him loose whatsoever.
No,
and they were bringing him down. They didn't stick to it, and it was kind of meaningless carries by the end of that game.
Yes.
For him. I mean, there was just, you know, it was just a wasted play. Mm-hmm. Basically. But yeah, how Cleveland manages to
right.
fill their stadium year after year with the decisions that they make sometimes. I mean, look, Kevin Stefanski can end up being the next great coach. He could be the next Lombardi or something like that. But for all the talk and all of the coaching changes they've already had over the years, for them to make another coaching change and for them to just come up with just the most blah hire
yes.
Of the entire cycle, I think for all the teams that hired coaches, it's just so Cleveland Browns. And, yeah, this just feels like another Freddie Kitchens or another name of Cleveland Browns coach, basically,
mm-hmm.
Because there is nothing exciting about this hire, and especially not after watching the game this weekend. It makes
exactly.
me even less excited. So if no excitement is something, whatever is less than that is what I imagine a lot of Browns fans are feeling right now.
Right. Well, he was Paul Podesta's guy. I mean, that was a guy that he wanted last year, and he didn't get him. And now he's the most powerful man in the Cleveland front office right now, which is scary. He's an analytics guy, former baseball dude. And so the Browns are back to the analytics. They are going to have a guy come in as a GM. Well, they're going to come in for an interview, and that's going to be Andrew Berry. He's going to interview this week for the vacant GM job. He's actually right now the Eagles vice president of football operations. He does pro and college scouting, so he could be a talented guy in the front office, but really it sounds like Paul D. Podesta really wanted to have the most power, and so he got a lot of really smart football minds out of there, and now he's the most intelligent dude in the room, according to him, and so he's going to bring in his guys, and that probably is not going to work out very well.
No, it sounds like very friendly hirings and very
yes.
cozy surroundings, you know, to make yourself, you know, happy and to feel like you got it all in control and with your own people. So, yeah, sometimes that works out. Sometimes that doesn't. I don't know. I'm not inspired in any way by what they're planning right there.
No, I'm not either. The Seattle Seahawks, their run came to an end last night by the hands of the Green Bay Packers. Really good game towards the end. I thought Seattle had a chance to come back and win that game, but they fell short, so they're done, meaning Marshawn Lynch's run is done, at least for this year. He ends up scoring 4 touchdowns in his 3 games that he plays for Seattle, which is not bad at all. And he had a little presser afterwards that's been making its way around Twitter. A lot of fun stuff from Marshawn Lynch, only how Marshawn Lynch can deliver it. And so he's giving some advice to the young guys in the NFL. Here's Marshawn Lynch.
Look, I'll say like this, though, right? It's a vulnerable time for a lot of these young dudes, you feel me? They don't be taking care of their chicken right, you feel me? So if it was me, or if I had an opportunity to let these little young Sahabs know something, I say take care of y'all money, African, because it don't last forever. Now, I done been on the other side of a retirement, and it's good when you get over there and you can do what the fuck you want to. So I tell y'all right now, while y'all in it, take care of y'all bread. So when y'all done, go ahead and take care of yourself. So while y'all at it right now, take care of y'all bodies. You know what I mean? Don't take care of y'all chicken. You feel me? They'll take care of y'all mentals, because, look, we ain't lasting that long. You know, I had a couple players that I played with that, you know what I mean, they no longer here no more. They no longer. So, I mean, you feel me? Start taking care of y'all mentals, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken from when y'all, you know, ready to walk away. You walk away, and you be able to do what you want to do. But I appreciate it. Thank y'all. Y'all have a good day.
Was it like
And I'm out. I appreciate it. Thank you. And I'm out. No further questions. Don't ask me anymore. That was probably his longest presser that he had as a member of the Seattle Seahawks again. And, he's giving his advice to all the young Sahabs out there. And look, not bad advice at all, but it's given in Marshawn Lynch's only way he can do it.
Well, I know it's an election year, so I nominate Marshawn Lynch for president because I would rather listen to him talk anything, really, than most of the candidates that we have come across our TV screens. I think he would be fascinating with
as a country, we got to get our chicken right. Make sure our chicken is taken care of.
Is chicken money?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
forgive me. Sahab, what is that?
Oh, that's your homeboy.
Okay.
He almost in there dropped
I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, he almost thought he was in East Oakland again and just dropped one of those words, but instead he changed it to Sahab, which is a word that E40 used to say back in the day.
It's the Bay Area thing?
For your homeboy.
Yeah, thought I was out of the loop.
No,
of a local thing. Okay.
Yeah, it's a local thing.
Yeah, I heard what he almost said.
He almost dropped it, like, and he even looked in the video. He kind of looked to the side like, whoops.
Yeah. He's hilarious. He's one of the good ones, no doubt about it. Don't know what his career holds from here on out, but, you know, he's had that return Seattle that was pretty special, even though it was very short-lived, and he's just a really entertaining cat, no doubt.
No, he really is. And again, four touchdowns in three games, can't be too upset about that.
Yeah, and I remember reading about him, you know, he's only spending his endorsement money, and all his NFL money, contractual money, is all just going into the bank.
Smart dude. He's a real smart dude.
Yeah, his Skittles money and whatever else is the stuff that he actually pays with. So, yeah, very smart cat.
Yeah, he's been trying to teach that to a lot of people for a long time.
Very smart Sahab.
There you go. You're going to use that one all the time. My final piece of audio right here I think is very fitting to end Cover 3 with today. Jimmy Johnson, he got real emotional after finding out that he's going to be a member of the Hall of Fame. Bill Cowher, the day before, found out he was a member of the Hall of Fame. I don't agree with that, but whatever. Jimmy Johnson, I fully endorse 100%. Thought he should definitely be a member of the Hall of Fame. David Baker came on set and let him know he was going to be the guy. And here's Jimmy Johnson speaking or attempting to speak following the visit from Hall of Fame president David Baker.
The only thing I can think of is all the assistant coaches that have worked for me, all the great players that have played for me, they're the reason I'm here. And they're the reason I can't talk.
All right.
No.
Where's your Bob?
I mean, this is so special to me because when you put in the work that we put in, it's nice to know people appreciate it.
Got a little nervous there.
He was like choking.
Yeah, he's almost like he needed an inhaler.
Yeah, he couldn't breathe. Mm-hmm. He was so worked up. And yeah, that was a very cool moment. David Baker's become a guy that people now know by name,
right,
based on the little behind the scenes videos they do for the Hall of Fame over the last few years. He's kind of become a character in NFL circles in a way.
And he's so huge.
And he's a giant.
Man, he's a big man.
He really is. But it's always cool to see that. It was very cool for them to spring it on Jimmy live there on air. And Cowher on the CBS pregame show is getting Hall of Fame honors as well. And I'm like you. I'm not big on Bill
He's
Cowher.
He's super
in the Hall
overrated.
Of Fame.
I mean, he has the same thing that John Gruden has, and John Gruden ain't no Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah. I mean,
you
Cowher,
know what I mean? Like, come on.
Cowher's legacy in the years following his coaching stint was really just, you know, where's he going to coach next rumors?
Yeah.
And he just never did. And so, you know, maybe if he had come back and done some more, and I know he won a Super Bowl, and I know he's got a, you know, a positive record and a playoff record and all that, but man, I just feel like it was very short. It was very, I don't know. It didn't.
He was more of a character to me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. He was the guy that always had his chin out and everything, and he was always angry and spit was going down his face, and because he was yelling and screaming at the officials or the team or the players or something like that. Hell, I mean, he did a hell of a job, but I just don't think he's Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah, I think if you break down the numbers and division titles and, you know, versus what other coaches did in their careers, you know, how many times you took teams to the playoffs, all the different things that I'm sure they take into account, I'm sure it whittles down to him being a Hall of Famer. But, it's not an automatic go-to for me. Jimmy, yes. Jimmy,
no doubt.
Overdue.
Yes.
And very cool to hear him have those types of emotions. You can tell it really meant a lot to him, obviously. If you can barely breathe,
right,
and you're pretty worked up about it. So that was very well done by Fox. And having that live on air, I thought was really, really cool. So appreciate that, Q. That's NFL News and Notes with Cover 3. We'll take a break right here. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Nobody has a better selection of light and heavy-duty Ram pickup trucks than Cameron Autoplex, where they say it's always cheaper in Cameron.
This is a
Fox 44 weather update. I'm meteorologist Emily Kay. It's going to be a chilly start to the day with temperatures starting out in the lower 40s with mostly cloudy skies and patchy fog possible across central Texas. It will warm up nicely this afternoon with highs reaching the mid to upper 60s with partly cloudy skies all day. Tonight, temperatures will drop down to around 50 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Tuesday will be warm with highs around 73 degrees and partly cloudy skies all day. Mostly cloudy skies and rain will return on Wednesday and will stick around into the weekend. Join me every weeknight during Fox 44 News at 5:39 for your forecast first. Plus, check out fox44news.com for any changes in the weather.
Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, protecting Texans since 1952. Don't miss the Lone Star Gun Show Saturday and Sunday at the Bell County Expo Center. You'll find great items at terrific prices on new and used guns, knives, swords, hunting gear, books, coins, medals, and ammo. Best of all, you'll enjoy browsing with the benefit of paying discount prices. Hours are 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 to 4 Sunday. Bring in your old gun and trade up for the gun you've always wanted. Lone Star Gun Show Saturday and Sunday at the Bell County Expo Center in Belton.
It's Matt Mosley Show, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy truck headquarters. Visit us online at turnerchevy.com. For the best deal on your new Chevrolet, stop by and see the all-new 2019 Silverado 1500 today.
Genco Federal Credit Union is your first step toward an affordable home loan. Whether you're purchasing a new home or just refinancing your current loan, applying online is really easy. Go to GencoFCU.org. Shopping for a new home? Love it, buy it, and enjoy it. Already own your home? Update it and enjoy it even more. Let Genco Federal Credit Union be your home mortgage lender. Member NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
My money, my future, my credit union, Genco.
In the U.S. Army, you'll gain more than confidence. With expert training in one of more than 150 occupational specialties, you'll be prepared to start a career. Qualified candidates who earn a spot on the Army team will receive comprehensive health care coverage, college tuition assistance, and the possibility of up to a $40,000 bonus. For more information, go to GoArmy.com or visit your local Army recruiting office.
Everything we do for you.
Central Credit Union is seeing 2020. Are you paying more than 3.9 annual percentage rate on credit cards? Transfer your balances today. First Central's Visa credit card has 3.9% for 12 months. Seeing 2020 financially clear means less stress and savings with your goals in view. No balance transfer fees, annual fees. We guarantee no hidden costs. Come see us or apply online at firstcentralcu.com.
Eligibility and application requirements apply. Member NCUA.
Hey everyone, it's Jason Miller with Syntex Rehab in Belton and in Harker Heights. I want you to think about that one thing that pain is keeping you from doing. It could be in your back, your neck, or your knees. But what is it keeping you from doing? Is it getting up and down from the floor with your kids? Is it playing your favorite sport or even working out? It could be something as simple as driving your car comfortably or getting a good night's sleep. I know from personal experience that pain can keep you from doing a lot of the things that you love to do. So I'd like to make an offer to you. Simply visit my website at syntexrehab.com and there for you, for free, are packets of information on how to relieve back pain, neck and shoulder pain, and knee pain. That's syntexrehab.com, or you can call our clinic at 254-630-1186 and we'd be happy to mail it to you. Again, go to syntexrehab.com and download the free packets. Feel free to chat with our patient care specialist directly online. You can get back to a life with less pain.
A championship decision in business is partnering with Sean Hunt and UBO Business Services. With their 94% first-time fix rate, they leave their copier service competitors in the dust. Call Sean today at 772-1600. UBO Business Services.
Back here on ESPN Central Texas, seeing a lot of people reacting some type of way to the Astros news. Is that trickled out just about a half hour ago? Their punishment handed down for Major League Baseball. GM and manager suspended for 1 year. Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch, 1 year without pay. Another little additional note that has since trickled out is that 1 year suspension will be without pay for both Hinch and Luhnow. Also forfeiting first and second round draft picks over the next 2 years, beginning with this 2020 draft. And no punishment for players, but a $5 million fine, kind of like the last little part of that punishment, which is the least of Houston's concerns. They'll now have to just not have draft picks the next couple of years as far as the first two rounds go. And I don't know. It'll be fascinating. And maybe Hunter Atkins, when he joins us at 2:30, can shed some more light on this. But it'll be fascinating to see, you know, what they do in replacing these two. And, like, if your GM can't do anything for an entire year, like, what actually does that mean? Like, can't even wrap my head around that, really. Same with your manager. Like,
feels like it means nothing.
Yeah, like,
if you're suspended, it feels like you're suspendo, right?
Right, so how does that even work to where those guys just aren't involved at all for an entire year? So that's what we'll try and get more information on with Hunter Atkins of the Houston Chronicle. Also just saw this note from front office sports, I guess, cover sports media. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of talk about Tony Romo, his contract's coming up with CBS, and obviously he's one of the best young broadcasters out there. Well, ESPN is reportedly preparing an offer that will make him, that will make Tony Romo the highest paid sportscaster in TV history, a multi-year deal that would pay him between $10 and $14 million per year.
It's a whole lot of chicken.
More than he made in his playing career.
It's a whole lot of chicken, my man.
$10 to $14 million a year annually. For Tony Romo, that is reported to be the offer from ESPN, so that would put him in the Monday Night Football booth.
And then probably a little bit more as well, because, you know, they're going to change up who has the rights to what game coming up after this season as well. So it'd probably do Monday Night Football, he'd replace Booger McFarland, and then also he'd have some other duties. But $10 to $14 million, you can give me all the duties you want.
Well, they're going to riot if Booger's not in the booth anymore or on the sidelines.
I don't know why
sidelines.
Everyone hates Booger so much, and I'm not saying
Booger.
You, but I'm,
yeah.
It's always on Twitter, man. Everyone hates Booger so much. I think he's kind of good.
People hate Booger.
Man, they sure do.
Yeah, it is funny because it's, you know, it's like kind of when you're on there enough, people pick up on certain things, and then, you know, that becomes the thing that they make light of. So with Tony Romo and his predicting plays, you know, it almost got to the point where it's like, all right, scale it back a little bit. It's a little bit over the top, a little bit ridiculous, and we kind of want to be able to sit back and enjoy the game. And so people kind of picked it or poked fun at that. But with Booger, it's really people pointing out or picking up on him just pointing out the obvious,
right?
You know, like, and that's something that, you know, when you're having to talk over the course of a 3-hour game, sometimes you are going to maybe stumble on and say something that's relatively obvious, but it's just the flow of it and everything like that. But I think that's where most people seem to have their fun, is with Booger saying, you know, just kind of the obvious follow up to whatever the lead announcer is saying. But yeah, I don't have as much of a problem with him as a lot of people seem to do, who are just
people hate him.
So ready for
every
him to be
Monday
out of there.
Night, Booger is trending on Twitter all the time.
Joe Tessitore doesn't have a lot of fans either.
No, it's true.
A lot
he's
of
over
people,
the top.
Yeah, a lot of people critique him, and I wonder too, whenever he first got that job, if his style would translate from college to the pros, and I don't know that it has, based on some of the feedback that I see.
And like I said, he's over the top, but I think it's okay. You know, I think those two kind of balance each other out pretty well. Like, I have no problem with the broadcast at all, and it's just so funny seeing so many people upset at both of those guys. And so yeah, they're gonna be ready for that, anybody to take over. And Corey just hit us up on the Bush's Chicken text line and said, I hate Booger's fingers.
I hate Booger's fingers.
It's cold, man. The dude played in the league, man. He's got bad fingers now, man. He does have man, that's messed up.
I think people just hate announcers in this age.
Could be.
Like, I can't think of, I mean, Gruden, I think, was mostly liked, but you had people that, I think it's just kind of fun to make fun of folks. And Booger and Witten, I mean, it doesn't help that they are both kind of in their first year doing it. Booger, I know, have been on TV for a while, just not in that capacity. But we had a caller bring up off air he talked to me for a long time in the commercial break about this Bill Cowher, Jimmy Johnson discussion. So he sees Bill Cowher pretty level with Jimmy Johnson career-wise. He thinks the only big difference is that one more Super Bowl that Jimmy does have. I will point out, he brought up resume a lot, so I was looking at actual coaching records.
Yeah.
And obviously, Cowher has a better coaching record. He coached for 15 years.
Coached longer,
NFL.
Right.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson coached for 9. So he did win that one more Super Bowl in 6 less seasons. But
also didn't coach the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I mean, that was a big black eye on Jimmy Johnson's resume, was coaching the Dolphins. My biggest thing for Jimmy, and I'm not a Cowboy fan, everyone knows that, my biggest thing for Jimmy is the fact that he engineered. He was the guy. He was the brain trust behind the whole Cowboy turnaround.
Right.
He was the guy, regardless how many rings he won. I mean, Barry Switzer is handing a check to Jimmy Johnson every month for the right to have his ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, he engineered a whole lot. I mean, that Herschel Walker trade was so big. I mean, the NFL draft is different now because of what Jimmy Johnson did.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot of things that Jimmy
salary
did.
Salary cap.
Exactly. That's why I give a lot of credit to Jimmy Johnson. It's not necessarily all of the, you know, just the wins and losses and Super Bowl rings, but he did a whole lot for the game of football and for the Cowboys in general. So, again, and I do know that Dolphins record was a black eye for him, but he got in and he very well deserved it. Cowher, I just thought, was a fun, inspirational type go-getter guy, just like you don't like Jerome Bettis. You don't think Jerome Bettis is really a Hall of Famer. We can, you know, pick that apart as well. I mean, I liked him because I liked his style of play, but that doesn't mean that his style of play is necessarily Hall of Fame worthy.
I mean, if I really wanted to break down Jerome Bettis, I'd probably lean towards him being a Hall of Famer. I just never enjoyed watching him play, never got excited about watching Jerome Bettis play. It just felt like he was a dude that was bigger than everybody else.
Right.
You know, and that's never appealed to me, just like the Bruiser. Like, the Bruiser's fun, but I don't know. I never enjoyed him. Just never. You know, just
and see, I enjoyed
yeah.
that style of play. I enjoyed him running through people for a 3-yard run and then get up and celebrate like he just ran 45 yards.
He celebrated a little bit too much for me, for sure.
Every run he had, I don't care if it was 2 yards, 3 yards, or 20 yards, it was celebrated the same way, like he just scored a touchdown.
Yeah, and I think that's really what probably rubbed me the worst way. It was kind of that kind of stuff from him. Never enjoyed him as an analyst. And I just don't like him, you know? I'm sure he's a great dude. I just don't like seeing him on TV. I don't like watching him play. So, yeah, he takes a personal knock from me. But, you know, he's a Hall of Famer, what have you. Bill Cowher's a Hall of Famer, fine. I just think that Jimmy is more of a Hall of Famer than Bill Cowher. Nothing against Bill Cowher. I do think that his career was very good, but has been overinflated just by his years away from the game. I felt like people were ready to make him a first ballot Hall of Famer the moment that he retired, and then it has turned into 20 years of, oh, he's going to be the next Cowboys head coach, and oh, he's going to come out of retirement, and that's all we've heard now for about 20 years on Bill Cowher outside of his studio duties. And so, you know, he's just always been pegged to be that guy, and I'm just not always been as favorable on him or as high on him as many others. I think that being a good dude and being friendly with a lot of people has also helped boost his stock, kind of like Tony Dungy, quite frankly.
Right.
So, you know,
if I was going to homer it up, let's just to the caller, if I was going to homer it up, I'd be on here pounding the table for Tom Flores.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? I'd be pounding the table for a 3-time Super Bowl champion, 2 as a head coach and 1 as an assistant head coach, not to mention he won 1 as a player.
Yeah, I mean, they're both deserving. I just think Jimmy's more deserving, and I've never been, you know, a huge Bill Cowher fan, so sure, congratulations on your honor. I'm not going to take away from that or say you're not deserving of it, but he didn't change the game the way Jimmy changed the game in multiple areas, and let's also, I mean, they both cut their careers pretty short. But, yeah, let's not forget the impact of those 90s Cowboys. Nobody ever really references the 90s Steelers as having some global impact on the game of football. I mean, that I can ever recall ever seen, period. Whereas the Cowboys, I mean, those mid-90s teams are legendary.
Yeah.
And Jimmy was, as you said, the architect of all of that. So, yeah, I don't think we really disagree with the caller, quite frankly. Just maybe we didn't pour it on enough for Bill Cowher versus Jimmy Johnson, but there ain't no Cowboys homers in this room other than Steven, I can promise you that.
And Steven will even call it out.
I know. Homer, they've never won a significant game in my life.
I know.
I hate the team. I mean, I love them, but I hate them, really.
Preach, brother. Preach or preach on.
You were going over the resumes a little bit there. Your point was they're very close on a lot of the records. Cowher obviously coached longer. He had the full stint with the Steelers, whereas Jimmy had the forgettable time with Miami, but would have been really interesting for both guys to see what they could have done if they just kind of stayed pat and not moved on as early as both of them did. Jimmy, obviously, because of the divorce with Jerry, and then Bill Cowher, you know, wanted to spend time with family and the reasons that he had for hanging it up early.
He did it for a while. I mean, he was in it, what, 15 years? I mean, that was, he had some longevity there. But, if Jerry and Jimmy had
gone another 20,
right, but if Jerry and Jimmy had found a way to keep that marriage alive for some more years, man, they could have been something magical. Really could have been. I mean, just who knows what could have been. But man, that was a hell of a team that he put together, and he had the lasting power. It wasn't like it was just going to be a one hit wonder. It was going to be a team that was going to last for multiple years.
Yeah, it was, and obviously a lot changed in the years after the Cowboys dynasty came to a close, and really the winds have changed obviously for Dallas, but everything's changed for them since that Jimmy era ended. You know, Barry got the Super Bowl, but it's really on the back of what Jimmy had already put together. Everybody recognizes that. I think Barry's even recognized that at times as well. Still had to coach a little bit, but I mean, that was a team that was pretty well set up to go win a Super Bowl. So Jimmy and Cowher, part of the Hall of Fame class of 2020, and that's a pretty good starting point for this Hall of Fame class. It's going to be a good one when all is said and done.
And we'll find out everyone who's going to be inducted on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yep.
Okay. And there are 15 modern era finalists. Mm-hmm. You got Steve Atwater, Tony Baselli, Isaac Bruce, Leroy Butler, Alan Faneca, Torrey Holt, Steve Hutchinson, Edgerrin James, John Lynch, Sam Mills, Troy Polamalu, Richard Seymour, Zach Thomas, Reggie Wayne, and Bryant Young. And then you also have your Centennial Slate finalists. There's 38 of those being chosen from. That includes coaches, so Jimmy Johnson and also Bill Cowher out of that. Players like Cliff Branch and Drew Pearson and others, and then contributors as well, where you get your Bud Adams and mm-hmm. your Art Modells or Paul Tagliabue's. And, there's all sorts of modern-era nominees, modern-era semifinals, all sorts of cats, but they've been whittling it down, so now we'll find out on Wednesday.
Yep, so and we'll have that for you.
I don't know, man. It's weird with these players. They're becoming more current with my age, whereas guys that I watched growing up that are now being eligible for the Hall of Fame. And so I look at this list and the modern-era guys, and I don't know. It's impressive, and then it's not in a similar way. I think it's just because I held those guys from the olden days so high, you know, as these legendary figures, whereas the guys that I watched, I watched them growing up. Mm-hmm. And so I don't necessarily think of, you know, Patrick Willis as a Hall of Famer, but all these guys have cases, obviously, to be in the mm-hmm. running for. Who are the no-doubter guys for you?
Troy Polamalu. Any?
Yeah.
For sure.
All the rest of them I kind of have questions about, honestly.
Yeah. I could see, make an argument for Edgerrin James. Richard Seymour, maybe. I don't know. But Troy Polamalu is the one that stands out to me, like, no doubt about it.
You don't love this list, though, do you?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't have the whole list in front of me, but no, I don't. None of the names really stood out to me in a major way.
Yeah, like Fred Taylor. I mean, he was really good, but was he a Hall of Famer? Reggie Wayne?
Reggie Wayne, man. Yeah, if I have to hesitate, I usually say no.
Ricky Waters was good, but he's not a Hall of Famer in my mind.
No. Uh-uh.
Torrey Holt was really good, but I don't know if he's a surefire Hall of Famer. Man, can you imagine Isaac Bruce if Torrey Holt got in?
He's going to lose his mind.
Isaac Bruce is going to lose his mind whether or not Torrey Holt gets in. If he doesn't get in this time around, he is campaigning, and he is not happy that he's not already in. Darren Woodson, is this finally the year he gets his name called?
Yeah, I can see that. We're going to get a call about me being a Cowboy guy now. Yeah. Damn it.
Well, you already said Polamalu should.
That's right.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just weird. There's a lot of names. There's recognizable names, but not necessarily these, like, oh, that's Jerry Rice, mm-hmm. or that's, you know, this guy or that guy. But, yeah, there's a couple that are no-doubters, but I'm noticing a lot of guys are starting to stack up now. And so it's almost like you wait long enough, you get in by default Steve Atwater or Drew Pearson Drew Pearson's not, but Darren Woodson, you know, he's had these multiple opportunities to get in. Now maybe this is finally the year that he will get in along with some others. So that'll be interesting to see when it's whittled down here on Wednesday.
I just don't want to go to the ceremony because that's going to be a lot of speeches and it's going to last a long, long time. 20 people is going to take a long time.
Yeah, it's normally what, like 10? 15?
No, it's not even that many. No, it's usually 7? At the most, maybe I think it's like 5 or 6. It's never this many. This is gonna take a couple days.
Yeah, I've been very hit or miss on watching the induction. I know that you're all about watching the inductions, but they're gonna roll out the fattest Hall of Fame weekend ever, and so it'll be interesting to see how they schedule that all out. Mm-hmm. Be one of those all day, like a concert.
It's gonna have to be
where you can just Coachella. Like show up, leave, come back, and they're still talking, still doing speeches. Mm-hmm. You just have to time it out to see the guys you want to see.
It's gonna be Coachella.
Yeah, basically like Coachella in so many ways. We're gonna have Jimmy Johnson on the main stage at 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. Cowher will be over on the east stage at 6. You know, that kind of a deal with as many guys as they'll need to get to. It's 1:39. We'll take a break right here. This is ESPN Central Texas.
The business, man. They put it on Kansas. And again, I said earlier in the show, I felt like it was really never in doubt. Like, I was watching that game, and the more I'm watching, I'm like, man, this is going to be a Baylor W. You know, they're hitting shots that they need to hit. Jared Butler's coming up money. Maceo Teague's coming up big when he has to. Started out with an air ball, and then all of a sudden just rebounded really quickly from that. And, you know, they started having fun. You could see them out there. They were smiling. They were joking. I mentioned earlier, I think Mark Vidal is such a huge part of this team. You can see how much he's grown since he's been at Baylor, from being just a guy who was just raw and kind of rough. And, you know, he's just going to go and do his best Rico Gathers impersonation, go and get some rebounds and clean up the boards. But this dude is so head smart, man. He's so intelligent when it comes to the game that he's one of the main keys out there. I mean, he might not have the most stats. He might not, hit all his free throws. I know he's a liability at the free throw line. But this dude is so head smart when it comes to the game of basketball. His basketball IQ is outrageous. He always knows what the moment is, and so he's never really a liability out there. But yeah, they really played a hell of a game, and I was very impressed. And when I saw the final, you know, when it said 0-0-0 on the board, there's no doubt they won this game. I mean, that was just kind of a butt whooping.
Yeah, that was not one of those the officials got involved,
right?
Or
no,
KU had a bad day, and let's blame it on, like, they just didn't play up to snuff. No, that's one you just walk away and say Baylor just handily beat Kansas. And, you know, they did not start off well. They were very poor shooting initially in that game, but turned it on, went on a run, and, man, just played an all-around tremendous game, and their defense is just so nasty. Defensively, they are a very, very tough team, and it's fun to see, like, the fall sports, they've kind of been winning on defense, huh? I mean, you look at what the football team was doing there with Phil Snow. Hey, the Lady Bears obviously play very, very good defense, but the Baylor men getting it done defensively as well. And Jerry Hill actually just hit us up, let us know the women have moved up as well in the polls. They are number two. So both the men and the women, number two teams in the country. The Lady Bears, number two behind South Carolina in the Associated Press poll. So thanks to Jerry Hill for reaching out and let us know that. But yeah, that's awesome to see dueling number twos. But yeah, I was very impressed by their defense on Saturday, their physicality, and just their ability to go on a run when they had the opportunity to do so, and, you know, grab a lead and hold on to it and not let it get too dicey or let it turn into a situation like they've seen in years past with close calls against Kansas where it comes down to the wire. They didn't have to hold their breath and cross their fingers this time around. They could just kind of let that clock run out.
I was calling Jared Butler Big Bucket Butler all game long because he kept hitting the big ones, man. If the clock was ticking down, no problem. Got it. You know what I mean? It just seemed like he was cool as ice. His dribbling was incredible. Just he was out there having a time for himself. And again, Baylor went into that game, and they wanted it. They really wanted it. They heard the narrative that, hey, they had never won there. And Scott Drew, I heard him talking after the game. You know, eventually they're going to win. You know, last year they got really close, but this year they went in with the right mindset, and they wanted it more. They just – when you get on the floor, man, you get those loose balls and you're chasing down everything. And you're just fighting, scratching and clawing for everything. That just shows you the want to. And so, yeah, they really, really earned that victory. And I was very impressed. And this team has an opportunity to really make a nice run.
Yeah, fair to say the biggest regular season win in Baylor history. I've seen that thrown out there and can't really come up with a better example of what would be considered the best regular season win, because I mean, obviously when they happen and when they occur, they might not necessarily mean that much in the bigger picture, but that's certainly been thrown out there, and given their history versus Kansas, it's understandable why. It's been tough. It's been close calls. It's been coming up short when you feel like you've got a game won, and there was no doubt about it this time around. You know, they got very dicey there to open the second half. KU goes on their run that you think they're going to go on, and Baylor had to fend that off, and fend that off that they did by just matching points eventually, and then just playing, again, great defense. I mean, this team on the boards and on the defensive side, I mean, they play championship basketball, and, you know, the offense can be a little bit hit or miss at times, but they had enough of the offense, thanks in part to guys like Jared Butler, who could very well be up for all the awards in the Big 12 postseason. Defense, offense, MVP, whatever. Yeah, that was a very, very impressive win.
You know, and again, I go back to Vital and even Freddie Gillespie, man. Those guys down there by the bucket, man, they make things happen. You know, they always are aware that a pass can come their way. Either Butler's going to drop it in their lap or Teague or someone else is going to get to the bucket, and then they're going to look for that last-second dish. And that's what they did a lot. And Gillespie, he went on a nice little run where he scored like 4 6 points back-to-back-to-back. And again, Mark Vital being smart offensively and defensively, man. This team, like I said, has an opportunity to make a real nice run.
Yes, they do. So the number two team in the country, Lady Bears, number two team in the country as well. Steven, before we go, any quick thoughts on, because I know we got some guests in this next hour, any quick thoughts on the Baylor men and their win Saturday?
It was really impressive. I mean, you know, as we talked about, they did something historic that they've never done, and they did on a night where they didn't get much from their bench. I think one of the strengths of this team is that they have a few guys that can come off and spell the starters, and they didn't really have that production, but we're still able to just get it done because the starters played so well. You know, huge statement win for them, and I saw a lot of people, a lot of national writers like Jeff Goodman. I saw Chris Patola on the ESPN coverage saying after that game that they were the best team in the country right now. So high praise for Scott Drew's squad.
Just enough voters think that Gonzaga still is, but keep doing what they've been doing, and Baylor will be knocking on that number one door. I mean, they're already knocking on it, but they'll start banging on it here pretty soon if they keep playing the way that they've been playing. So just incredibly impressive week last week. Same goes for the Lady Bears with that win over UConn, and then, you know, not falling prey to, you know, a letdown or anything like that. Just got right back to business yesterday. against Okie State. So number two teams in the country, both men's and women's basketball. We'll head on into the final hour.
We got hit up on the Bush and Chicken text line. A couple people had hit us up to let us know that the Lady Bears were number two in both polls as well. And then we read the message from Jerry Hill. And so this texter responded, Jerry Hill to the rescue. I just heard it after I sent it, damn it.
Yeah, well.
Damn it, Jerry.
We appreciate him chiming in. Those women's polls, I don't know when exactly they come out. Like, sometimes they're right about now, and then sometimes I don't see it till like Tuesday. So glad to see that we have some people paying attention and passing along that info for us. So let's get on into this final hour. We're going to have Teresa Walker talking some Titans and also Hunter Atkins talking some Astros punishment. It's all coming your way next. It's ESPN Central Texas.
Bear basketball on 92.9 FM.
The Lady Bears back in action Wednesday on the road in Lawrence to take on the Kansas Jayhawks. 6:30 for the countdown to tip-off. 7 p.m. tip-off Wednesday on 92.9 FM.
Lady Bear basketball all season long with Bruce Eatson and Maggie Davis-Stinnett on 92.9 FM.
While your favorite team strives to add more gold championship trophies to their trophy case, in business, a championship decision is partnering with UBO Business Services and Sean Hunt. Boasting an industry-leading 94% first-time fix rate, UBO Business Service leaves their copier service competitors in the dust with their own average first-time fix rate of less than 40%. Call Sean Hunt at UBO Business Services today, 254-772-1600. That's 254-772-1600.
If you're looking for quality car care, a place that's been in business 21 years, has a staff of over 200 years of combined experience, well, then Freddie Kish Complete Car Care Center, that's the spot for you. Customer service is number one priority at Freddie Kish. They actually have a drive-up canopy, so you never have to park your vehicle when you drop it off for your car for service. They'll come right out to you, and they'll end up parking it for you. At Freddie Kish, it's always hoop season, and we all know it's hoop season right now. But at Freddie Kish, when you walk in the door, you're in the paint. Just like in basketball, you only have 3 seconds in the paint. Well, one of the fine folks at Freddie Kish will make sure to greet you with a smile and ask, how may I help you, within 3 seconds. That's quick customer service with a smile. You always get that at Freddie Kish. Also, they offer many different services, including something small like oil and lube, tires at a very competitive price. As competitive as anyone in town. And you know you can't get tires without an alignment, right? That's an absolute no-no. You can get complete engine and transmission repair, computerized diagnostics, batteries, either AC Delco or Interstate. They have everything. And at Freddie Kish, you drop off your car, they'll give you free shuttle service to and from your destination. There's nothing worse than getting stuck at the shop, needing a ride to your job, or stuck at the job trying to get your coworkers to pick you up and take you to your car. So for this and much more, go by and visit Freddie Kish Complete Car Care Center, 5300 Franklin Avenue. It's open Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 5:30.
Hi, my name is Dave DeRozier, General Manager of Freddie Kish's Complete Car Care Center, voted number one in Waco since 2002. It's time to start thinking about winterizing your vehicle. Have you checked your wiper blades, your coolant protection, your battery, your tire conditions? How about your tire pressure? How about that spare tire that everybody forgets about? Let us check these worries off your list before taking that holiday vacation with your family at Freddie Kish's Complete Car Care Center, where your troubles are our business. Dedicated to serving you since 1998, located at 5300 Franklin Avenue in Waco. Come and see us and tell them Dave sent you.
Everything we do for you.
First Central Credit Union is seeing 2020. Are you paying more than 3.9 annual percentage rate on credit cards? Transfer your balances today. First Central's Visa credit card has 3.9% for 12 months. Seeing 2020 financially clear means less stress and savings with your goals in view. No balance transfer fees, annual fees. We guarantee no hidden costs. Come see us or apply online at firstcentralcu.com.
Eligibility and application requirements apply. Member NCUA.
Hi, this is Bambi Eskew from Alan Samuels House of Travel. When was the last time you experienced an adventure that took your breath away? Well, the time is now. On American Line and Alan Samuels House of Travel proudly present On Stage Alaska, an exhilarating live performance and stunning visual presentation. You'll discover all the great land has to offer. Towering mountains, ice age glaciers, abundant wildlife, dog sledding, gold panning, and so much more. All in the hands of Alaska's oldest and most respected cruise line company, Holland American Line. On Stage Alaska, here for a one-night presentation, Tuesday, January 14th at the Waco Hippodrome Theater. Doors will open at 6 p.m., presentation at 6:30. Don't miss this refreshingly different travel show or the opportunity for all the special bonus travel benefits that we will offer. On Stage Alaska, call Alan Samuels House of Travel today for any questions and to RSVP. 254-776-2560, and we hope to see you there.
In the U.S. Army, you'll gain more than confidence. With expert training in one of more than 150 occupational specialties, you'll be prepared to start a career. Qualified candidates who earn a spot on the Army team will receive comprehensive health care coverage, college tuition assistance, and the possibility of up to a $40,000 bonus. For more information, go to GoArmy.com or visit your local Army recruiting office.
Why not make it quick and easy to feed the entire family? Just stop by Bush's Chicken for Tender Tuesday. You get 16 tenders, a family gravy, and four rolls for just $11.99. Bush's Chicken, simply the best.
I'm Christine Lisi. Breaking news, Major League Baseball suspended Astros GM Jeff Luhnow and manager A.J. Hinch 1 year after its investigation found the team used technology to cheat during its World Series winning season in 2017. The team will also be fined $5 million and forfeit first and second round draft picks in 2020 and 2021. ESPN's Jeff Passan reports discipline for Red Sox manager Alex Cora, Houston's bench coach in 2017, is coming and will be harsh. A champion will be crowned tonight in New Orleans, LSU and Clemson in the national title game. LSU can win its first championship since 2007, but must start fast, advises the SEC Network's Paul Feinbaum.
They have to play well early, Stephen A. We know that Clemson answered the call. I mean, their comeback against Ohio State is the single best performance of the year I've witnessed. LSU cannot make mistakes.
I'll find Bon on the Stephen A. Smith Show. Coverage 7 Eastern ESPN Radio, 8 Eastern on ESPN TV, the ESPN app, and other ESPN platforms.
You love iced tea. It's smooth and refreshing with just the right flavor. You also love to be a little twisted. That's why Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea has everything you love, because it's made with real brewed tea and a kick. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Be a little twisted. Drink responsibly.
KRZI Waco, K256BW Waco, ESPN Central Texas. Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Boozer's Jewelers Premier Diamonds and the Wedding Ring Store on the corner of Valley Mills at Lake Air in Waco. The 2 o'clock hour of Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Wings Pizza and Things in Temple.
Let's roll!
Live from the Petty Clinic Low T Studio, this is Unnecessary Roughness. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
And welcome into the 2 o'clock hour of UNR here on ESPN Central Texas. We're going to have Hunter Atkins coming up in about a half hour from now talking the Astros' punishment for Major League Baseball. But right now, let's talk some NFL playoffs as the Tennessee Titans have booked themselves a trip to the AFC Championship game. They'll take on the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're doing so after an impressive win over Baltimore this weekend. Joining us now on the phone lines, covering the Titans for the Associated Press, is Teresa Walker. You can find on Twitter at Teresa M. Walker. And Teresa, we do appreciate your time today. Just how improbable is the fact that the Titans are in the AFC Championship game, given kind of how the season played out, the expectations going in? Are Tennessee Titans fans out there shocked that they're at this stage? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, here's the thing. It is surprising. I mean, this is a team that was 2-4, but if you look at the fact that, you know, the Titans put a lot of pieces on this team this year to try to maximize Marcus Mariota in his fifth and final year under contract. So, you know, they signed left guard Roger Saffold. He was a very high-priced free agent. They drafted A.J. Brown. They signed Adam Humphries, a guy who they outbid the Patriots for, a move that, while Adam Humphries has missed the last six games because of an ankle injury, you know, at least he wasn't in the Patriots side of the field in that wild card game. So, they added these pieces. And yes, Derrick Henry, had his first 1,000-yard season in 2018, and he comes through and leads the league in rushing this season. But these pieces were here to help Mariota try to succeed, try to grow. And, the reason they hired Mike Vrabel 2 years ago after a divisional loss in New England was they wanted to go farther. They wanted this franchise to compete for championships. And in two short seasons, they've done that. But probably the biggest move this franchise during the season was the decision to bench Mariota and turn to run with Miami for back in March. Simply at that time was to upgrade the backup quarterback position in case they had a situation like at the end of 2018, Mariota was hurt, couldn't start the game. That was a win in the postseason, and the Titans couldn't win in that game with Blaine Gabbert. They upgraded Ryan Tannehill, and when you know this offense was mired in a 10-quarter stretch with one touchdown, they benched Mariota, turned it over to Tannehill, and he simply comes through with the best performance of his career, leading the NFL in passer rating and yards per attempt and things like that, and you know finished off the season 7-3, and now guys, they're 7-3 on the road this season, and you know. Getting ready for a very big game in Kansas City on Sunday. So outside this building at the Titans headquarters, probably not a lot of people thought they could do it after 2-4. But this is why they hired Mike Vrabel. This is why they had these pieces in place. And, you know, right now they kind of believe they can go anywhere and beat anyone.
I've talked to you about Derrick Henry for multiple years now, multiple seasons now, just wondering when he was really going to end up being the guy. And clearly, like you mentioned, he's been the guy this year, leading the league in rushing. And I mean, two playoff games, and he's been the guy. Tannehill hasn't even had to throw for 100 yards yet. How were they able to navigate that? At the end of the season, Teresa, his hamstring was hurting. He was being limited. But now all of a sudden it's like, hey, don't worry. Just get on my back, and I'll run you to the promised land.
Well, he was running well, and then, yes, that hamstring, you could tell it was bothering him in a win at Oakland. Then they came back, and he had 86 yards against the Houston Texans. The game they lost by 3, and that's the thing. They took a risk. The New Orleans game, it's weird. They lost that game, and yet because Pittsburgh lost that day to the Jets, they ended up getting control of their playoff seat in the final week, needing only to win in Houston and in. But they took that opportunity and rested Derrick Henry. Henry made it clear he wanted to play. But obviously, in hindsight, it was the best move for the Titans because, you know, even though he was running and you saw him be able to run in a couple of games and try to protect himself, he didn't have that extra gear. And now we saw him get run down at the end of a 66-yard run on Saturday night. But that's the thing. That week off and helping him get through that and get past it, obviously the confidence is there now in his legs and, you know, 211 yards, 182 yards, and then 195 yards the other night. You know, in three straight games, nobody in NFL history, at least to the 1970 merger, has done 180 yards in three consecutive games. And now for his first four playoff games, he's got the most yards rushing in NFL history. So he's doing things we hadn't seen done. And, you know, and here's the thing. He just seems to be gaining, you know, what do you want to call it, confidence, determination. He keeps gaining each week as it goes. And, you know, he's got a nickname that a Spanish broadcaster gave him back in college when he was running kind of like this at Alabama, El Tractorcito. And, you know, he's chugging along right now.
So, Teresa, how do you think they kind of navigate? And I know this isn't the most important thing now, but this upcoming contract situation with Ryan Tannehill, because obviously he's been so great for him. He hasn't been as much of a factor in the playoffs because of Derrick Henry, but he's really engineered this turnaround for Tennessee.
Well, he's been effective. And here's the thing. It's just impossible to see either he or Derrick Henry, who's also in the final year of his deal, getting away from the Titans at this point. You know, final year of the CBA, they could franchise, use the transition tag, use both of them in whatever way they want to. But I don't see them letting either of those guys leave. Now, they got some other guys who are starters who are going to be free agents, Logan Ryan at cornerback, right tackle Jack Conklin. But these two are obviously at the top of the to-do list. The one thing we've seen John Robinson do is when he's got people they don't want to get away, they sign them up. So you know, last year it was left tackle Taylor Lewan who got the big extension. This season, before training camp started, it was safety Kevin Byard. Expecting something, you know, now is it tagging one of them and seeing what the market bears for one of them to help set the price? You know, they have a lot of options, but I just do not see either of those guys hitting free agency when the market opens on March 18th.
Teresa Walker covers the Titans for the AP, joining us here on ESPN Central Texas. Marcus Mariota, how has he handled the turnaround under Tannehill? And what do you think the future holds for him, Teresa? What kind of a market do you think there will be for him?
Well, the quarterback market is going to be very interesting in March because look at the names that possibly could be there. I mean, you know, we've seen some murmurs that New Orleans doesn't want to let Drew Brees go, but then, you know, Tom Brady to the Patriots, let him test the market and see who will offer a bunch of money for him. And, you know, the one thing we know is Marcus Mariota should be at the top of that list because his winning record is not bad. His stats are not bad at all. And, you know, sometimes when you've had a chance to step back, watch somebody else do it, and guys, three different head coaches, four different offensive coordinators, five different play callers. You know, that's enough to make the best quarterback's head spin at times. And, you know, so this sitting back, watching Tannehill operate, you know, everyone has praised him as, you know, being just the most supportive and helpful and teammate in that locker room. And you can tell because why? The Titans have gotten him on the field in each of the last three games. He threw a 24-yard pass in the finale at Houston. He threw a 4-yard pass at New England. He was on the field and wide open on the jump pass that Derrick Henry threw in the triple coverage to Corey Davis. So, you know, they have been using him. You know, as this postseason continues for the Titans, it just feels like they're trying to set something else up to use Marcus Mariota. And you're not doing that if that person and that player is not buying in and still being a big part of your team. So I think all credit to him, and that's going to make him even more attractive to another team.
You mentioned Logan Ryan as a guy who's going to need a contract after the season's over, and who knows if they bring him back or not. But how much has he meant to this Titans team coming over from the Patriots, from a team that has the tradition of winning? Just can be another one of those, not foundational pieces, but can tell the guys in the locker room, hey, this is how we get it done.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the reasons why John Robinson brought him in here. You know, there's been a lot of former Patriots that, you know, John Robinson has brought in. Deion Lewis, you know, Josh Klein had been a guy who's now with Minnesota, who was here for a bit. But Logan Ryan is a guy, they signed him right after winning, you know, the 28-3 comeback against the Falcons, winning a Super Bowl and coming here. And that whole do your job, you know, focus on this game. So that's kind of the attitude that's permeating this locker room. And Logan Ryan's one of the guys who helped, you know, transfer that mentality inside that locker room. So, and he's been playing. He let them in tackles on Saturday. So he has been a very key piece of this of the defense for sure, and helping set that mindset. You know, when they hired Mike Vrabel, they talked about how they wanted to establish their Titan way of that Patriot way, and you know, and he's been a big piece of that.
Teresa, what are your early thoughts on this matchup with the Chiefs and you know, the style that they've been playing, the Titans, that is, with keep away football, and how that can translate to this matchup with Kansas City upcoming this week?
Well, it's going to be interesting. Derrick Henry ran well against them here in November. I think it was 188 yards. The defense at that time was going through a little bit because they just lost Malcolm Butler the week before to a broken wrist in Carolina. So, you know, they held the Chiefs to trying six field goals, and it was on that sixth field goal that they got the block to clinch that 35-32 win. So we know that they're going to be able to run on them, and Tannehill had some nice passing yards in that game. He kind of brought them back in the fourth quarter. I think the bigger challenge is going to be that defense. We saw them in this postseason. They've shut out. They had a five-quarter shutout streak, you know, from the end of the Patriots into the game with the Ravens. So if they can continue that, and I think they're 2 of 7 in the red zone, then, you know, they've really, to use a phrase that they like, tightened up in the red zone here in this postseason. So if they can continue that, then, guys, they've been the road dog at New England, at Baltimore, you know, 7.5-point dogs as they prepare to go to Kansas City. You know, here's the thing. This is a team that, you know, the belief just seems to be building and the confidence growing with each win that goes by. Why? Because what the coaches are telling them to do is succeeding and doing it in some of these tough, tough places. I mean, go into New England and win, the defending champs, go into the team with the NFL's best record and win. You know, that can do an awful lot for a team. It feels a little bit like in 99, when they used the Music City Miracle momentum to get them to their first Super Bowl. I'm not going to be surprised if that happens again this time.
You know, I'm glad you finished off with that, because I was just going to ask you, me and Craig were just in Nashville with you not too long ago for the draft, and that was awesome in the city of Nashville. What would it mean? What would it mean for them to continue this improbable run and end up in the Super Bowl?
If they get to the Super Bowl, I'm not going to be betting against them. It would mean a lot. I mean, you know, you mentioned the draft was here. They showed what Nashville could do in hosting that kind of party. And for a franchise that, you know, has been, you know, wandering through the weeds, you know, since their, you know, last time in the AFC Championship game, you know, they've gone from Jeff Fisher to Mike Munchak to Ken Wisenhunt, Mike Mularkey, and now it's Mike Vrabel. You know, this is their second postseason since 2008, so it's been a lot of lean years. I mean, this is a team that had the number two pick taking Marcus Mariota, and then they had the number one pick the next year that they traded away for a bunch of picks that also helped them get Derrick Henry. And, you know, to be able to do that, let's put it this way, in a town that's been pretty dominated by the NHL Nashville Predators for the last few years, why? Because they've won, the Titans would be able to take and probably fill the stadium with much more of their fans next fall. Because just last week, Mike Vrabel pointed out, you know, hey, we're the underdogs. We usually have 20,000 of the other fans in our stadium. So they can take a huge step back toward making this Titans, not just city, but turn it back into a Tennessee Titans state.
Well, it should be an incredible game coming up this weekend, a spot in the Super Bowl on the line. Titans and the Chiefs, certainly not what everybody expected when the season started or maybe even just a few weeks ago, but what an incredible win for Tennessee this weekend over Baltimore. Teresa Walker can be found on Twitter at Teresa M. Walker, covering the AP. And Teresa, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Enjoy the game this weekend and appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot. There's Teresa Walker covering the Tennessee Titans here with us on ESPN Central Texas. Cannot believe they beat Baltimore in the fashion in which they did. Not just to beat them, but they beat them down, made them like it.
Less than 100 yards passing from Tannehill.
Yeah,
twice.
Less than 100 yards passing from Tannehill. Lamar Jackson had an awful game.
Terrible.
Just could not keep from turning the football over. Didn't look comfortable.
They had him throw the ball 59 times.
Right.
He's not. I mean, look, I like Lamar Jackson a lot. He's going to be the MVP of the league this year, but he's not built to throw the ball 59 times. And really, to be 100% honest, there's not too many quarterbacks in the league that should be throwing the ball 59 times.
No.
Maybe Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers. But for the most part, man, you should hover around 30, 35 passes a game max. You shouldn't be up there in no 59.
No. He had some really poor decisions yesterday, and Tennessee took advantage of it and left no doubt in that game. There was no, hey, this should have gone differently, or hey, this call. No, that was just complete domination. So we're going to have Hunter Atkins of the Houston Chronicle joining us here in about 15 minutes. But there is now more with this Astros story. We let you know earlier that Major League Baseball had finally handed down their punishment. 1 year suspensions for GM and manager, $5 million fine, and loss of draft picks. That was the basic gist of it. But the Astros have decided to pour on some more as far as, well, what we'll be seeing from them in the very near future. Very interesting news coming out here in the last 15 minutes or so. We'll tell you about that next. It's ESPN Central Texas.
There's a reason customers drive from all over Texas to buy a Ram pickup truck from Cameron Autoplex, where they say it's always cheaper in Cameron.
This is a Fox 44 weather update. I'm meteorologist Emily Kay. It's going to be a chilly start to the day with temperatures starting out in the lower 40s with mostly cloudy skies and patchy fog possible across central Texas. It will warm up nicely this afternoon with highs reaching the mid to upper 60s with partly cloudy skies all day. Tonight, temperatures will drop down to around 50 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Tuesday will be warm with highs around 73 degrees and partly cloudy skies all day. Mostly cloudy skies and rain will return on Wednesday and will stick around into the weekend. Join me every weeknight during Fox 44 News at 5:39 for your forecast first. Plus, check out fox44news.com for any changes in the weather.
If you want the best wings and pizza in Central Texas with an energetic atmosphere, look no further than Wings Pizza and Things in Temple, a smoke-free family environment committed to serving fresh, made-to-order food. There are dozens of large-screen, high-definition TVs to watch everything in sports, including, of course, the NFL and college football. Wings Pizza and Things serves only top-quality, large wings with 16 flavors, including their new Rim Reaper. All sandwiches come with fries, tots, or side salad, and delicious New York-style pizza. Wings Pizza and Things, celebrating 13 years strong in the Temple Town Center on the Southwest Dodge and Loop in Temple.
Hi, this is Brad Sham. Snowwood Dental is your comfortable and remarkable home for a full spectrum of general dentistry starting at age 6 months. They feature a specialized treatment of TMJ pain known as bioaesthetics, the highest degree of bite correction treatment that relieves patients of pain and gives them the smile of a lifetime. From simple fillings to full cosmetic reconstructions, Snowwood Dental also specializes in oral or IV sedation, implants, and wisdom teeth removal. They accept most insurance policies, including Medicaid and CHIP, at Snowwood Dental in Robinson.
Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way. So it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing and seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years' experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949. Because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct.
Winter is here, and many of you realize that it's time to replace those old, drafty windows. Call Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas and schedule an in-home consultation where you can discuss your specific window needs with an expert team member. Universal's exclusive Unishield windows are spaced using aerospace technology called Super Spacer and have a life expectancy five times that of other systems. And they offer 0% financing for 60 months. That's 0% financing for 60 months. Contact Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas for a free in-home estimate. UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com at UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. 254-301-7760 and be sure to check out their great Google reviews.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
A championship decision in business is partnering with Sean Hunt and UBO Business Services. With their 94% first-time fix rate, they leave their copier service competitors in the dust. Call Sean today at 772-1600, UBO Business Services.
Welcome back into UNR here on ESPN Central Texas. And I didn't have anything written down for my Sports Center this afternoon. I mean, I don't typically do any of that till we wrap up here. Maybe sometimes if I know like a game's on tonight, I'll go ahead and put it in there, just have it jotted down as a reminder to mention it. So, I mean, I could have loosely started putting together my Sports Center with, you know, the rankings, men's and women's basketball, Lady Bears, and the Baylor men are number two in all the polls across the board. And, you know, some various other things I could probably throw in there. No Texas team playing tonight in the NBA. I already checked that. That's not going to work. But man alive, between all this Astros news, I think I could just do an all Astros Sports Center, especially now. We told you that the punishment has finally been handed down for Major League Baseball. And the punishment, as it was unveiled about an hour or so ago, was a $5 million fine, which is the lowest of the concerns for the Astros. Also, a one-year full-on without pay suspension for general manager Jeffrey Lunau and manager A.J. Hinch, in addition to losing their first and second round draft picks in the next two drafts. So that's pretty hefty. I mean, shoot, you're losing four really good baseball players potentially with first and second round picks gone. You're losing your GM and your head coach, your manager, for an entire year. And so I was asking, like, how would that even work? Like, does Jeff Lunau and company just, like, operate without him, like, entirely? Like, does he have any say in anything for an entire year? Well, it's not going to matter, because the latest explosive news out of Houston is that they've decided to just go ahead and clean house. General manager Jeffrey Lunau and manager A.J. Hinch both suspended for 1 year about an hour ago. Now no longer with the Astros organization. Jim Crane has fired GM Jeff Lunau and manager A.J. Hinch.
Good move. I mean, it really is. You were asking the question, what can they do? And I kept saying, I don't think they can do anything once they're suspendo. And so I think that that's what Jim Crane looked at and said, well, what the hell can they do? And they've cost us. They made us, you know, look bad. It's a black eye on the organization. A lot of people are calling us, at least on Twitter, I'm seeing a lot of people calling them the Asterix instead of the Astros. You know, so there's a lot of that going on. And so, just went ahead and cut bait with those guys. And so, you know, good for Crane to make that move. And it's just an interesting time in Houston. I was telling Simi in the commercial break, I said, I bet you Houston radio right now is blazing on fire. Oh, you know what I mean? And I say, well, Bill O'Brien's like, hey, hell yeah, all the attention's off me now. It's all on the Astros.
No doubt.
Yeah, one interesting note on Hinch, according to the report that the MLB put out about the investigation. So now this is, I guess, his words and then also the investigation they had. But he tried to stop this at times, but he didn't actually come out and say he like, he didn't tell them explicitly they need to stop it. But he voiced his displeasure, and they put a monitor in the dugout, and he, like, damaged the monitor a few times, like physically broke the monitor, and they would just put a new one up.
And guys, I don't like this cheating thing. Come on, quit it. Cut it out.
I hate that you keep replacing the TV every time I break it.
He was supposedly very contrite about it in the investigation time. So I thought maybe he would get, I mean, it was still lame. Like, he could have shut it down, obviously. Yeah. He's in power.
Right, he's the manager.
But I thought maybe he could have got a little grace from the organization since he attempted to do something and didn't just sit there totally and do nothing. But I guess not. I mean, but as Q said, it makes sense. I mean, it's a whole year wasted, basically, mm-hmm. with those guys on the payroll. So you might as well just cut bait. And I guess we're going to search now.
How do you say that you want it done or taken care of and done away with and you really just don't do anything about it?
Well, I understand where Simi's coming from, but ultimately he just made no call on doing anything.
That's such a BS excuse. Well, I didn't want it to go on. I tried to damage the screen. No, how about you just put your foot down and say, hey, Jack, we're not doing this.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how about you just do that? How about you just have some stones and say that you're the manager and it's going to go the way you say it's going to go?
Yeah, if that was really occurring, though, to where he was like, I hate that we do this or you guys do this, and yet just kept letting it go. He kept letting it go and kept allowing it to happen. But if he was doing that and they're all just like, well, shoot, we're going to keep cheating. You're right. Not going to stop us. And that just goes to show more the mentality that got them into this trouble to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I have no respect for AJ Hinch. None. He's going to, like, make a point to damage the monitor.
Right.
And they just put it back up. Like, nobody seems to care what he thinks then.
Yeah. It didn't stop him from hoisting that trophy up.
That is wild. No, it did not. Did not feel like that was tainted in any way, but, I mean, look, Astros fans are still going to celebrate a World Series as they should, but, you know, forever and ever, that's going to be a World Series title that people point to and say, oh, you cheated for that one, and I hate that for Astros fans because it's still going to be in their trophy case. Mm-hmm. They still earned it, as best we know. You know, other teams obviously were, like the Red Sox, up to shenanigans as well at various times, but man, what's Alex Cora going to get? Like, if this guy was instrumental in all this,
right,
with the Astros and with the Red Sox as well, and you're looking at AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow both getting year suspensions without pay, and it seems, just from all indications, that Cora was far more heavily involved in this with not only one team but two teams, what's he looking at? I mean, at least a year suspension without pay, right?
At least.
And possibly more. I mean, that's what it would have to be because he seems to be the most culpable of anybody that's been involved with this story. So enough to get him to lose his job as well. I don't know if that's the direction the Red Sox will go, but man alive, that's now setting up to be the next big punishment from baseball. And given they didn't open their investigation at the exact same time as the Astros, we're looking at that probably, you know, here in sometime during the course of baseball season being announced, I would think. If they can't get it done before that, which they've got about 2 months to wrap that up, and maybe they can do that. But that'll be very interesting to see what he gets, mm-hmm. Alex Cora, because, like I said, he was as involved as anybody on all of this. But Luhnow and Crane, or excuse me, Luhnow
and Hinch.
And Hinch, both out with Crane. They're the last say in that Astros organization, just deciding, hey, enough embarrassment and enough of this nonsense. We're just going to go ahead and get these guys out of town. And I think that's the right move. You know, what was it going to be like a year from now? And, oh, hey, guys, we're back.
Right.
We're clean, though. We're not doing anything wrong this time. You know, that would have been awkward enough as is. But them just sitting around, not being able to do anything, not getting paid. I mean, they're not employees, basically. So maybe reconnect in the future, but I like that they went ahead and made this move.
Yeah, no, me too. It was just what you're supposed to do. And, you know, when this whole thing broke and all this news was out about what they had done to, you know, to steal all these signs, and we said, and plenty of people called in on the show and said, hey, you know, if you steal the signs organically and you just do it on your own, cool. But if you're actually going through a process and you have electronic help to try to steal all these signs and figure out what's happening, that's when you've really gone too far. And so they went far too far. And, yeah, it's good that they got that suspension. I think Major League Baseball gave them the right amount of suspension. I think taking away the draft picks was major. You mentioned earlier they've done a good job in the draft. So that's going to hurt the growth of the organization. And then for the team to say, you know what, we're going to double down and get rid of these cats as well. I think that was great.
Yeah, and they've drafted so well. You know, I know that Alex Bregman and guys like that aren't necessarily being picked or weren't being picked at the time where the Astros would be picking now, but that's a potential Alex Bregman that you're not losing out on, or Carlos Correa, or Jose Altuve, because you've had such success. So, yeah, four, you know, first and second round picks combined is a lot, but now you've lost your manager and your general manager. So that's very interesting, and we'll continue on talking about this with Hunter Atkins. I will make mention that when I was in Dallas last weekend, for like a family Christmas thing, after we attended a funeral, my uncle Terry from Florida was there, and Terry played baseball at OU, and then he went on to become a coach with Wichita State for a while. And so he's been around. He's done recruiting. He's done all of that jazz, and we were having a good baseball talk, and the Astros got brought up, and he just said, yeah, like, we all stole signs. We all did that. He's like, but what they're being accused of is just other level. Like, that's at next level. He's like, no way, in any way, shape, or form can you condone what they were up to. So that's from an old baseball guy who's coached, played all that at a pretty high level, and those were his thoughts on the Astros. Coming up next, we'll get Hunter Atkins' thoughts on all that's gone down today in Houston. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Baylor Big 12 basketball all season long with Pat and John on ESPN Central Texas.
The Bears back home in the Farrell Center Wednesday hosting Iowa State. 6:30 for the countdown to tip-off. It's a 7 p.m. tip-off Wednesday for the Bears and the Cyclones Big 12 basketball.
Follow the Bears all season long here on the home of the Bears, ESPN Central Texas.
At the drop of a tailgate, here's your touchdown meal. Kick off your tailgate party with Slovacek West tailgate boxes. Each box feeds 10 people with delicious savings of your choice. Smoked barbecue brisket, pulled pork, Slovacek sausage, and more. Every box contains everything you need to make that extra point, including sides, utensils, sauce, tea, cups, and ice. Customize and order your tailgate box by 2 p.m. and it will be ready to pick up the next day. Don't punt when you can score big with Slovacek West. Slovacek, you'll love our sausage.
Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, the team physicians of Baylor Athletics. Our doctors specialize in the diagnosis and treatment of any and all sports-related injuries. Celebrating over a decade of service to Central Texas, our doctors are equipped to handle a wide range of issues, whether it's your foot or ankle, your hand or wrist, knee and shoulder pain, or you're in need of our arthritis and total joint clinic. Trust the doctors that Baylor trusts. Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics. Our goal is to get you back in the game.
J.D. Power has honored Texas Farm Bureau Insurance for 8 consecutive years for the highest customer satisfaction with auto insurers in Texas. Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, protecting Texans since 1952.
Don't miss the Lone Star Gun Show Saturday and Sunday at the Bell County Expo Center. You'll find great items at terrific prices on new and used guns, knives, swords, hunting gear, books, coins, medals, and ammo. Best of all, you'll enjoy browsing with the benefit of paying discount prices. Hours are 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 to 4 Sunday. Bring in your old gun and trade up for the gun you've always wanted. Lone Star Gun Show Saturday and Sunday at the Bell County Expo Center in Belton.
Did you know that one out of every four men have symptomatic low levels of testosterone and don't even know it? And if you think you're too young to worry about it, guess again. Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy, cause weight gain, and wreak havoc on your sexual desire and performance. Petty Clinic Low T can set up same-day blood screening and results, so if you're tired of being tired, I challenge you to man up. It's a private clinic with an atmosphere catering to men. Affordable, only $150 a month, includes lab work, office consultation, testosterone injections, follow-up visits, compared to $395 a month in Dallas or Austin, and you don't have to fight the traffic. Petty Clinic Low T is board-certified physician consultations, will provide the best form of brand-strength testosterone available. Listen up. If you're looking for increased energy and strength, improvement in sexual desire and performance, elevated mood, focus, concentration, contact Petty Clinic Low T today. Just off Highway 84 and Old Hewitt Drive in Woodway, Petty Clinic Low T. PettyClinicLowT.com or Google search Low T Waco.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update, brought to you by Slovacek Sausage in West. After a week that saw them beat Texas Tech in Kansas on the road, Baylor brought home two Big 12 weekly honors. Jared Butler is Player of the Week, and Macy O'Teague is the newcomer of the week. Baylor consensus All-American defensive lineman James Lynch is headed to the NFL. The Bears' all-time sack leader foregoes his final year of eligibility. He had 39 tackles, 14.5 tackles for loss, 13.5 sacks, and 3 forced fumbles in 2019. The Rangers have signed third baseman Todd Frazier to a one-year deal worth $5 million. Frazier's a two-time All-Star in 8 major league seasons, hit .251 with 21 home runs and 67 RBIs last season for the Mets. And tonight, national championship game, LSU and Clemson from New Orleans. Coverage begins at 5:30 p.m. right here on ESPN Central Texas.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas. Welcome back to Unnecessary Roughness. It's time to talk Houston Astros with Hunter Atkins.
Back here on ESPN Central Texas, just after 2:30 here. And as we've mentioned to you a couple times today, as the news has broke, the Astros are at the top of the headlines right now with Major League Baseball levying their punishment against the Astros for their cheating scandal, allegations, what have you. A one-year suspension for Lunau and Hinch, a $5 million fine, and loss of first and second round draft picks over the next 2 years. And the Astros have doubled down on this because they've now officially fired both Lunau and Hinch. And Hunter Atkins, Houston Chronicle, joins us now on the phone lines. Hunter, obviously a lot to unpack, but what were your initial thoughts on just the punishment that was levied? Was it about what you expected, given that there was so much talk about this? And just kind of how did you see it, I guess, from the outset before, obviously, the news that would follow here in the last 20, 30 minutes or so?
Well, the year-long suspensions were expected. This is something that I think any local reporter following this and looking into this had heard. What is most shocking is that Jim Crane decided to make this progressive, you know, I hesitate to use that word, I guess, but maybe progressive, aggressive, maybe justified decision to fire A.J. Hinch and Jeff Lunau and start anew. In one respect, I think it is the smartest decision he could have made, because you're going to cut ties with, you know, all the negative baggage that was going to be carried going forward from, you know, basically everybody on staff that had to do with any scandal the team has gone through in the last few seasons. We're talking about the Roberto Osuna trade, how controversial that was, the way they treated media, Brandon Talman, the assistant general manager, and his irresponsible, reckless behavior toward female reporters, and so on and so forth. Now all the sign-stealing stuff. You know, to get rid of these guys, I think if you're the owner of the team, you're sending the message to the world, not just your local fans, but the entire world, that, hey, we're going to run this organization the right way. We had not been running it the right way before. In another respect, if the ultimate reward of sports, if the reward system remains winning games, a mentality that I think bred the kind of hubris that ruined the Astros, but if that still is the reward system, the Astros are in a horrible place to continue to win games. Today is the beginning of the end of the successful run that they have had. It's so deep how problematic losing all this personnel, the draft picks, the recent trades they made in the last 2 years that gutted their farm system. They are not in a position to be perennial contenders anymore.
Jim Crane, what does he do now? Now that he has no GM, no head coach, where direction does he go?
Well, it seems likely that Joe Espada, who was the bench coach last season and was interviewed for multiple manager openings in the offseason, he'll be the interim manager. Who knows if he'll get the job full-time or not, but that's an easy one. In terms of running the team, I am embarrassed to say that I cannot pronounce his last name. Pete something. I can't get his last name right. But there is a someone who worked under Jeff for multiple years, who's been with the organization for a while, who's going to probably, I expect, take over as the general manager. Or maybe we see Jim Crane, who's a pretty competent owner, actually become the GM for a while. I wouldn't be surprised by that either. I don't know if the public quite understands that the general manager of a sports franchise is its CEO. It is its architect. It is its version of Steve Jobs. If you do not have a very good general manager, you cannot compete well in sports. You can't plan. You can't identify talent. You really can't do anything. So losing Jeff Lunau, if not the best, one of the best general managers in baseball, the Astros are at such a disadvantage right now.
Hunter, what did you make of this kind of revelation in the investigation that A.J. Hinch kind of passively tried to show his dissatisfaction with this? You know, he damaged the monitor. He apparently told the guys he wasn't happy with it, but ultimately didn't shut things down. I mean, do you have any sympathy for his approach in this whole process?
No. but I also think it's an irrelevant point. You know, like, he's not being punished because he was, I don't know, like mad about it or not mad about it. It's that he didn't do anything about it. You know, that is what he's being punished for. I also think that, you know, if you take the time to read this report, the Astros are not being punished because they gained some kind of, frankly, intangible advantage from breaking the rules by using the video technology. That's not really what they are being punished for ultimately, and it's certainly not why AJ and Jeff were fired by Jim Crane. It's because this organization had become rotten before our eyes. They lied. They cheated. Their hubris corrupted them. That was being led by Jeff and AJ. That's the root of all of this. So I think it does not matter at all except to make for a memorable, perhaps unforgettable, colorful image in our minds of AJ Hinch, old school, grabbing a bat and taking it to a television monitor because he was PO'd. Like, it's kind of a distraction from the point. I find it to be rather irrelevant.
Hunter Atkins, the Houston Chronicle, joining us here on ESPN Central Texas. You said a couple times now it's kind of the end of the run, and it is, you know, as far as some of the names involved with their success over the last few years and that World Series title and the appearances and all of that. Just from an on-the-field standpoint, I mean, is there a way to recover? You know, is there a way for them to keep their heads above water? Do you think this is going to be so much damage so quickly and so much in the way of distractions that it'll be too difficult to do so?
In all likelihood, this season is going to be the last season they will have for a while in which they're in position to compete for a World Series. It's the combination of their future, like the youth movement in the minors that they might have had before, is deeply jeopardized and threatened. They do not have their top draft picks for the next two seasons. It's horrible for them. Why is it horrible? Well, not only are you not going to be able to potentially bring in a new franchise player, you can't trade those prospects. The Astros have done a really nice job of cultivating enough talent in the minor leagues to then trade them for key pieces of World Series competing teams the last 3 years. You're just losing a lot of assets. On top of that, I think every Astros fan would agree too that the team is old.
Yeah.
Their best players are on the other side of their greatness, with the exception of someone like Alex Bregman, Yordan Alvarez. Obviously, they are exceptional young talents, but you need a lot more than that to win the World Series. The last few teams to have won the World Series were loaded teams. Not, you know, including the Astros in 2017. Justin Verlander is in his late 30s. Jose Altuve is on the wrong side of, I'm trying to use my head, 30, 31 maybe? Something like that. He's in his early 30s now. You know, it's like it's just all heading in the wrong direction. And George Springer is in the last year of his contract. Carlos Correa has not put together a full healthy season. When you combine all of this, you can see how the roster is not heading in the right direction. And everything today, well, it just ruins all that even more.
Do you feel like this could be one of those situations where we look back at it a few years from now and say, man, what could have been, what a roster they had, what an opportunity they had, and they really didn't come away with what they should have?
No, I don't think so. I don't think anybody will say that. You know, the magic of the 2017 World Series is actually probably, I think, locally, in Houston at least. It will always override everything. It supersedes everything, even all the bad stuff that's come out about the team the last year plus. I think fans probably think it's all worth it for that. And it's hard to win the World Series. It's really, really difficult to win the World Series.
Right.
I still think that is a humbling lesson from so many of the Astros' experiences. They won in 2017 in the final game of the year, a game that going into it was a coin flip between them and the Dodgers, and they win. They lose on the final game of the year this last season to the Nationals in a game that going into it was a coin flip. The Astros had a lead with 8 outs left. They could have won it. It's really, really difficult. We have not had a repeat champion in baseball in more than 20 years. Hasn't happened since the early 2000s, Yankees, or rather the 2000 Yankees. This team achieved, I think the team overachieved when we think of where they were 5 years ago. You know, what is saddest, the thing that will linger forever and be at the top of the Wikipedia page, is that they won, but they also had their manager and general manager suspended and fired. They had the very infrastructure that they spent so long building up, that they were revered for building up. They had it, you know, dismantled in a heartbeat because of their own hubris and corruption.
Hunter Atkins, Houston Chronicle, joining us here on ESPN Central Texas. I don't know how much sports radio you listen to on a regular basis, if at all, but what's getting more attention today in Houston, the Astros or the Texans, you think?
Bill O'Brien probably has to send Manfred, Commissioner Rob Manfred, a fruit basket.
Yeah.
Thank him. It's been quite the distraction from a volcanic level of vitriol toward Bill O'Brien today for his coaching decisions in yesterday's dramatic collapse for the Texans.
Yeah.
So now it's a really depressing day in the Houston sports scene. If not, I shudder to think of a darker day in probably this century, you know, since 2000 in Houston sports. I mean, it's grim. And you know, it's like there was the embarrassment of yesterday, but that is different from today being exposed for, for immorality, mm-hmm. for bad ethics. That's a different kind of pain and embarrassment that collectively the Houston sports community is feeling today.
Yeah, they managed to hit bingo on bad news, both on and off the field somehow, in the city of Houston. And a bad 24, 48 hours, no doubt. But, Hunter, know this stuff was all just breaking and unfolding. So I know you got probably a lot of work to do and a lot of things to write about. We appreciate your time as always, man. Thanks for hopping on and hope you have a great week.
You too. Thanks, guys. As always, call anytime, and please, to everyone, keep reading the HoustonChronicle.com. I can guarantee that we, as a staff, will be writing about the ramifications for the Astros, I'm sure, starting today and all through spring training. This is the beginning of a very, very new and beleaguered stretch that the Astros are about to go through.
Hey, man, good stuff. We do appreciate it. There's Hunter Atkins of the Houston Chronicle. You can find more at Texas Sports Nation, part of the HoustonChronicle.com website. This extra sports for you there in the Chronicle. More Texans, more Astros, more Rockets, more Houston. And we do appreciate Hunter Atkins for his time this afternoon. And, yeah, it's like the end of an era. It's like there's sad music playing in the background. The lights have dimmed and kind of putting a capper on the Astros run, man. It's pretty crazy.
Ken Rosenthal just tweeted out, per sources, Baltimore Orioles GM Mike Elias has also been suspended for a year as part of Major League Baseball's investigation into Astros' 2017 sign-stealing scandal.
Oh, because he was, okay. Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's the thing I was talking about with Cora, too.
Yeah.
Cora, I think, could get the heaviest punishment of anybody.
And Carlos Beltran also involved. He's a Mets manager now.
That's right.
So that's
wasn't
possible.
He the snitch, though? You know, snitches don't get away. They get away with everything.
Was he?
As long as you sing, you ain't got to worry about no punishment.
No, Mike Fiers was the one that
Fiers was the snitch.
Off. Yeah,
okay. He's the one that really just started it on Twitter. Basically, is how he got the whole thing off the ground.
And just a funny thing, Bob Nightingale, who covers baseball for USA Today, said that Jim Crane's going to look inside and outside the organization for a replacement GM and coach. Like, where else?
Yeah.
Where else?
So he's
going to
look everywhere, huh? Cool deal. As opposed to the alternative of just staying in-house or just strictly being out-of-house. Yeah, that's funny. Wow. What a turn of events for the Astros. And you know what's weird about it, too, is like you knew that the punishment was going to be heavy, and you knew it was going to be bad. You just didn't really know what to expect. And certainly, I don't think anybody could have ruled out like year-long suspensions for people. But for it to go ahead and just say, all right, not only these guys getting year-long suspensions, but we're just going to go ahead and fire them, and they're gone. I mean, that's the end of this Astros run. You know, they may go and win in the future with the same players, but as far as this incarnation of Houston baseball, the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. I mean, ultimately, it started off with a team that was intentionally tanking for like 3 or 4 years to grab these prospects and to build it back up, and then you start winning, and then you get your World Series, and then it starts come crashing down and results in your manager and your GM being fired because you guys were cheating. And, yeah, just what a crazy about five-year run there for the Houston Astros. The
Patriots are looking at them like, what are they doing wrong?
Patriots like,
what's going on?
Where you guys went wrong was you should have had the camera in this box as opposed to, yeah, they should have consulted with the Patriots to find out how to get away with stealing scandals. That would have
been, I'm telling you,
very smart on their part. But, yeah, huge, huge news out of Houston today and across Major League Baseball. And as Steven was just saying, there are some others that were involved some way or another that will also get their time in the Major League Baseball punishment, son. And that should, I think, happen really at any time. And for Cora, maybe a little bit later. But be interesting to see if they get it all wrapped up before the season starts here in a couple of months. So thanks to Hunter Atkins for his time. We'll come back. Smokey will be here in studio, I do believe, to let us know what's coming up on another shortened edition of You Make the Call. It's ESPN Central Texas.
Baylor Lady Bear Basketball on 92.9 FM.
The Lady Bears back in action Wednesday on the road in Lawrence to take on the Kansas Jayhawks. 6:30 for the countdown to tip-off. 7 p.m. tip-off Wednesday on 92.9 FM.
Lady Bear Basketball all season long with Bruce Geetson and Maggie Davis-Stinnett on 92.9 FM.
Learn strategies for building wealth and financial success in retirement. Plan well, retire well, live well. Tune in Saturdays at 8 a.m. for the Lovett Financial Show or visit Lovett Financial for a complimentary financial review.
Have you been tagged yet again in an engagement ring photo? Are hints being dropped all around you? Rest assured, D'Amore Fine Jewelers has been rescuing men seeking the perfect ring for over 25 years. Come in with a picture of her dream ring and we'll make it a reality. With our five-year financing, custom design team, and selection of diamonds, we'll make the whole process fun and enjoyable. D'Amore Fine Jewelers on West Waco Drive.
Myatt Fuels. You call, we haul is a high-quality fuel and lubricant distribution company based out of Clifton and West. Myatt Fuels provides our local area with a wholesale delivery of on-road diesel, off-road, farm diesel, gasoline, and non-ethanol. Myatt Fuels has been in Central Texas for several years and based their success on the company's values, integrity, and commitment to their clients with superior service and dedication. Call Nick at Myatt Fuels with all your off-road, farm, on-road, and gasoline delivery needs. Now available non-ethanol gasoline. Call 675-8107 Myatt Fuels or look them up on Facebook.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update brought to you by Slavocic Sausage in West. After a week that saw them beat Texas Tech in Kansas on the road, Baylor brought home two Big 12 weekly honors. Jared Butler is Player of the Week and Macy Oteek is the newcomer of the week. Baylor consensus All-American defensive lineman James Lynch is headed to the NFL. The Bears' all-time sack leader forgoes his final year of eligibility. He had 39 tackles, 14 and a half tackles for loss, 13 and a half sacks, and three forced fumbles in 2019. The Rangers have signed third baseman Todd Frazier to a one-year deal worth $5 million. Frazier's a two-time All-Star in eight Major League seasons, hit .251 with 21 home runs and 67 RBIs last season for the Mets. And tonight, National Championship game, LSU and Clemson from New Orleans. Coverage begins at 5:30 p.m. right here on ESPN Central Texas.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
Back here on ESPN Central Texas, the national championship game tonight, as you heard, live from New Orleans, will be on our airwaves, and we were just there a week and a half or so ago, and I remember getting on the media bus to the game, and we sat around for forever. It was just me on the media bus, and we sat there for like a half hour, because I guess they were waiting for more people to show up, and eventually like one more dude got on. He's a local, though, and he was chatting it up with the media bus driver. And just kind of overhearing their conversation, and they were talking about how like the crowd was kind of sparse. There were a lot of Baylor fans there, but there weren't very many Georgia fans in attendance like there had been the year before or in years past. And they were just saying, well, LSU's in the championship game, so anything we miss out on this week, we're going to get back here in a couple of weeks. And I can only imagine what the scene must be like there in New Orleans right about now. They're on Bourbon Street, French Quarter, and all over for tonight's game. And, man, if Clemson can go in there and pull off the upset, period, but do so in New Orleans, now that would really be something. That would be an all-timer right there. So looking forward to that later on tonight. David Smoke joins us now in studio. And we just got done talking Astros punishment, which I'm sure you guys will discuss, and a whole lot of other things to get to. What do you guys have planned for this afternoon?
Well, obviously Clemson at LSU is the what you would think today the big story, and then around here it's the coaching search as well. But then the Astros, this is very similar. Was it Bounty Gate with the Saints?
Yeah.
A similar deal with the kind of suspensions of Sean Payton and I think the Greg Williams
yeah.
Others that were involved in that. But, man, this is – they don't take away the title, and I don't think you can at world championship like at a professional level. And I think it's stupid when the NCAA like vacates the Reggie Bush USC title in 04 or whatever. But, God, this taints it badly. Badly.
Yeah, somebody, I think it's Hunter or somebody just said the asterisks is what they're being called by some people.
But it doesn't take it away if you have a t-shirt or a cap or you, hey, we won the world championship in 17, but the Astros have been through a pretty bad barrage of negative the last 3 months. I have nothing against them. It's just this is so deep. It goes so deep. And we'll have that. Obviously, look back at the NFL playoffs. What a comeback by Mahomes and the Chiefs yesterday, a meltdown by the Texans, and then, of course, the Ravens, who just got drilled on Saturday. So we'll look into all of that. Jimmy Johnson, a part of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Q, I saw your note. I agree with you about Bill Cowher. I thought that was, like, premature. I was like, what?
Right.
Jimmy Johnson, you know, had a smaller, shorter career in the NFL, but had a much bigger impact. So.
Yep.
That we'll have that as well.
All right, you get that phone call later on.
did you get one of those?
We got a phone call off the air.
Was it Carl? Yeah.
No. It was someone else. He was a pretty,
Randy was his name.
Randy was pretty fired up at Stephen.
This doesn't mean we don't think Bill Cowher was
a
hell of a football coach.
That's what we explained.
But I just look at the overall resume. I'm happy for him.
Jimmy changed the NFL, and I can't really say that Bill Cowher did. Yeah.
And then also, we'll look back at what also happened with men's and women's basketball, ranked number 2, both of them. We'll have Scott Drew was able to get him on Saturday when they came back from Lawrence. So we'll have all that. And Paul will feature, by the way, with a couple of different writers at Clemson and LSU game.
All right. So that's all coming up next. You make the call with David Smoke and Paul Catalina. And we've had a very busy day here. a lot of thanks for our guests on the show today. Hunter Atkins last minute, but also Teresa Walker and Billy Embody. We'll be back tomorrow. I know we've already got Patrick Walker and Colt Barber scheduled for their usual spots on Tuesdays. But, man, who knows what could happen out of the baseball world in the next 24 hours. And certainly we'll have Clemson LSU to discuss as well. And maybe there will actually be some Baylor coaching news. Maybe. We'll see on that, though, but certainly expecting something to pop this week at some point or another. So, guys, anything before we go?
Shout out to J-Mo, man. He was voted Texas Coast Sportscaster of the Year, so shout out to J-Mo.
Oh, very nice. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. This is ESPN Central Texas.